The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hi, today is Thursday. It is December 6th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a boy was among five people injured in a Southwest Philadelphia fire. Also hurt was an elderly man who tried to save the child. The fire started at 12:45 a.m. Thursday in the 2400 block of Ardell Street. Fire crews arrived on the scene to find heavy smoke on the second floor of the two-story row house. There were reports of occupants on the roof and hanging from the second floor windows. Firefighters soon rescued the elderly man from the porch roof and the 8-year-old boy from inside the building. The child was rushed to CHOP with smoke inhalation. He's in serious condition. Two adults, a male and a female, were rushed to Penn Presbyterian Hospital with smoke inhalation. They are in stable condition. The fire was placed under control at 1:20 a.m., and there was no immediate word on the cause of that fire. Faculty and students are mourning the loss of a Camden County teacher who was killed in a car accident on Tuesday night. 46-year-old Michelle Barnett was a teacher at Choose Elementary in Gloucester Township. Police say her vehicle was involved in a crash on Ariel and Douglas Roads about 6:20 p.m. Tuesday. Barnett was driving one of the two vehicles involved. The other driver and a passenger in Barnett's car survived. All three were taken to the hospital, but Barnett died at the hospital. An investigation into the cause of the crash continues. Gloucester Township Mayor David Mayer released a statement saying Barnett's passion to teach was only matched by her passion for her students. She taught at Choose School for 20 years. So sad.
Yep.
Brightwood Career Institute abruptly closed while students were in class. Hundreds of students in Center City went to class on Thursday with the hopes of working towards a diploma, but were later told to leave the building because their college had been closed.
Isn't this wild? Yeah, they showed them outside like, what?
And no advance indicator.
They were in class.
Yeah.
No, and
sucks.
The teachers didn't know either. They were in class too.
And they're going, you know, there's specified things, you know, career paths that they're on. They're so hoping to make a difference.
Yeah, the school offers diplomas in dental and medical assistance along with other support training in healthcare. They said there was anger, bitterness, and confusion at 30th and Market Streets Wednesday from the students and staff at Brightwood. The school's website said the closure was due to financial reasons. Most students had spent many months and thousands of dollars at the school.
Any chance they're going to get their money back?
Well, that's the question. They did get transcripts, right?
Yeah. So many were given transcripts and told to vacate the building with no guidance on how to get their money back or where to go from here. And it was the same for the Brightwood instructors.
And that's the best way they thought they could go about doing this? Oh, in the middle of class or whatever? And right. All right, go and try and figure it out yourself?
Well, when you do something like that, I tend to think there might be an issue with getting your money back. Mm-hmm. You know, you would usually announce something like that. We're closing at the end of this year.
Right.
Blah, 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 refunds or, you know, whatever you have not paid out yet. They work out the financials. When you do something in the middle of the day, it's not good.
And it's not cheap, you know, to go to schools like
that. Well, for this kind of stuff, too.
Yeah. So people, you know, put out all of this money to go. They're sitting in class and then, sorry, that's it. Here's your transcript.
Yeah, I don't see any lawsuits coming from this.
No, not at all. Yeah. You notice that's why, raids always, like when they raid off businesses, during the day, you know.
So their website is still active with a message on the front page that says Brightwood Career Institute is no longer accepting new student enrollments. The website also says the Institute in Philadelphia has been helping students achieve their goals since 1918.
It really impacted the school football team.
In sports this morning.
Ball sacks around.
The Sixers lost to the Raptors last night in Toronto. Kawhi Leonard had 36 points, and the Raptors won 113-102, handing the Sixers their 13th consecutive loss in Canada. Leonard has never lost in 12 career meetings with the 76ers, including two wins this season. Jimmy Butler scored a season-high 38 points, though, and added 10 rebounds, and Joel Embiid had 10 points and 12 rebounds for the Sixers, whose last win in Toronto was in November of 2012. The quick road trip continues for the Sixers with a game in Detroit tomorrow night before they return home on Monday. The Flyers return to the ice tonight with a game at home against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets are the second-best team in the Metro Division with 15 wins on the season and 32 points. The puck drops at 7 o'clock. o'clock. Tonight's Thursday night NFL matchup features the Jacksonville Jaguars traveling to Tennessee to play the Titans. Kickoff is at 8:20, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Hey.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Morning, bitches. How y'all doing?
Well, you know, someone rebooted my screen here, Preston. And when that happens, the little tabs on the bottoms just say hotkeys. You have to hit them again to reactivate them.
Okay.
So yeah. I missed this today.
Okay.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Oh, thank you for making good on that.
That was hidden.
We can't start the show without a bowl of ball sacks.
You know, the great thing about our show is that a lot of times you can change things up on us during the night. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, we good?
We're good. We got our ball sacks back, and they are yummy.
I like it. Hey, I'd like to start off this morning with some giveaways. If you are free on the 20th of December and you know a thing or two about this particular program, then you want to be at the Christmas Miracle broadcast.
Yeah, hey!
Miracle!
Yeah!
Yeah!
And we got some room for you. Man, do we have some room. We are going to be, instead of doing around 200 people this time around, we're going to do around 500
wow.
because we have a new, bigger space at the Excite Center at Parks Casino in Bensalem.
We took a tour before they opened. It is pretty sprawling and pretty awesome.
So we've got, you know what, I'm going to take, let's take 8 callers right now. But keep in mind, you need to have that morning free, that entire morning free, Thursday, December 20th. And you have to be at least 21 years of age. And if you don't know the show inside and out, then you might just be spinning your wheels because it is a trivia-based contest that we do. And we draw people out of the audience randomly to come up and be a part of Contestants Row. Will that be you? Let's find out. 215-263-WMMR. You will be eligible to be on Contestants Row. Your guest will not. Now, that doesn't mean your guest isn't going to win anything because we have other kinds of prizes and goodie bags that we're going to give away. And it's the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Contest, too. So wear an ugly sweater. Might end up with some prizes. Let's get you on board right now. 215-263-WMMR. For today's program, guest-wise, we have comedian Tom Cotter stopping by. I think this will be our first time meeting Tom.
I think so, yeah.
He's going to be at Helium, so he'll stop in today, and we'll find out what he's all about later on. And our friends from Star Restaurants are coming by today. Yeah, that's right. They're going to be bringing food and gift cards to give away. So this morning, we're being fed by Elvez, the Continental Restaurant, and Martini Bar, of course, and Midtown.
Nice.
And I'll tell you what all they brought, and we will do some giveaways with those gift cards. And yes, they are a wonderful gift for the holiday you've given them,
I just gave one recently. And you can use it at any one of the locations, at least the one I gave.
Yep. So besides Christmas Miracle stuff, we got a movie screening this weekend. The Spider-Verse movie is coming out, and it's a rare weekend screening that we have, so we'll make sure that we give you an opportunity to win those. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a second. I have a great stupid question for you this morning, as well as a roundup on the entertainment stories. That's coming up next. Stay with us this morning.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind if you get them a gift card from Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. And there's a special offer. You can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring Collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free. All at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, today's stupid question. Sometimes a really great one falls in your lap. I love this question. And I have a really good one tomorrow, too, courtesy of a listener. So I'm happy when I get these. We have a chance for you to win a $75 Amex gift card from The Flash. Or, I'm sorry, we'll also give you The Flash Season 4, Arrow Season 6, and Supergirl Season 3 on DVD. How about this? What type of bread was originally a German insult meaning farting bastard?
Farting bastard. German bread, an original... farting bastard? That's a great question.
Isn't it? 215-263-WMMR. What type of bread was originally a German insult meaning farting bastard? Call now. Right. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you can get it correct. Today's birthdays, we will highlight December 6th since it's today. Peter Buck, a guitarist from the band R.E.M., and he is 62 years old. I'm always, I was listening through my collection of music on my phone yesterday.
Yes.
And South Central Rain came on.
Good
and
song.
I just, that's a band I always go back to. And, you know, and I don't know all their, every bit of their library of music, but I love that band.
Well, there was a time when they were upper strata. They were super popular.
Oh, yeah. When Automatic for the People came
out.
Oh,
yes.
They really were on top of things.
And then they just kind of tamped it down by their own choice.
They did. You know, I know that in particular, Michael Stipe was just kind of tired of doing it. And,
yeah.
And so
he wants to look like the old man in the sea now.
He was always very cognizant of, he's like, look, we're just a pop band.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're not.
Changing the world.
Not changing the world. And we entertain people and we have a good time doing it. And he's like, and you know what? Our time has come and
right.
I'm done doing it. So I kind of respect that as well. But great music, man. So Peter Buck, guitarist, is 62 years old today. Our buddy Judd Apatow celebrates his birthday today. Judd is 51 years old. We've had the pleasure of his company on a few occasions.
It's wild now. When you refer to something as having the Apatow touch, everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
That improvisational appearance.
Yep, most definitely.
What does he have going on? I mean, besides he's a producer on Crashing.
Yes.
But I don't like
loads
writing
of shows, writing. Yes, a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And he was also he got back into stand up a little bit.
40-year-old Virgin was on over the weekend. Unfortunately, it was the, you know, the cleaned up version of it.
I hate that.
But I still did watch it, and it's been a little while since I've seen it. What a great movie. I think maybe my favorite, and there's a bunch of really good ones, but Forgetting Sarah Marshall could be.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It is so good. But Anchorman is super bad, and, you know, This Is 40, Pineapple Express, all that stuff. So he's 51 years old today. Stephen Wright.
Yes.
The driest comedian to ever pick up a microphone is 63. Did we ever have him?
We did have him on. We had him on the phone.
Yeah.
And he was good.
He's great.
He's also won an Oscar, I believe, for short film.
No kidding.
He did a short comedy film.
Wow.
But he's super talented, but no one does that. One-liner, dry, deadpan delivery better than he does.
He was certainly unique when he hit, man.
And he was big, though. Remember people would walk around quoting Stephen Wright lines.
Most definitely. 63 today. Another great actor, Tom Hulce, who was Pinto in Animal House.
Yes.
And went on to be a really great dramatic actor, Amadeus. He was nominated for an Oscar in that.
He was. And I hope this is the truth.
Yeah.
That he has since re-embraced his Animal House-ness.
I hope so.
Yeah, because there was a little bit of time where I know he wasn't overtly contentious against people asking him about it. But he was like, can we move on? But why do you move on from what is considered one of the greatest comedies of all time?
It is. And Amadeus actually is one of my all-time favorite movies. And Parenthood, he's great in that.
He has one of the best scenes in that movie when he gets thrown out of the moving car.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, my friend's dropping me off. And the dad says, dropping you off. Friends, slow down. They even stop.
My favorite line from him, though, is when he's talking about his son, Cool, and he goes, so her mom comes to me and says, I shot someone. I have to leave the country. That's parenting? It's such a great movie. He's 65 years old today, but he does behind-the-scenes stuff. He's mainly involved in producing very rarely, but that's what he does now. Another birthday, Jo Beth Williams.
Yes.
The actress, movies like Poltergeist and The Big Chill.
She was a milfy mom in Poltergeist.
She was. She's 70 years old today. And then the last birthday I saw, 85 years old today, Don King.
Oh, my God.
Man, Don King was all over the place at one point in time. Back in the 90s, you saw him all over the boxing matches, no matter who it was, standing right in the middle, that big smile.
Absolutely.
At the end of the fight, he'd be right there, no matter who won.
And the dude in Rocky V is supposed to be Don King.
Yep. Touch me and I'll sue.
Yeah.
I have no money to sue.
So for what?
So I don't have any money to sue.
That's when you admit Rocky at his absolute stupidest.
Yeah. nice.
We haven't heard Rantlers. We have not, and it's that
Christmas tradition.
It is that time of year.
It is.
Would you indulge, please, Casey?
Rantlers. Right now, you want that?
Yeah. Do we have the whole thing?
Of course we do.
Yeah. This is when...
This came up on the roof.
It's literally guttural sounds.
Whoa, stop the press, Joe Angel. I can't believe we just come up on the roof, will you? And you just landed there and crashed, and what do you think it is?
Do I hear reindeer on my roof?
You know, Rattlers and Unbelievables, like a billion. Whoa, come on, look who's here. You know this guy. It's gonna be next Christmas before he gets down. Hey, put it together for Santa. Hey!
Merry Xmas, yo.
Hey, I don't think you got it right, Santa.
Oh, my God.
It's ho, ho, ho. Like a billion.
And then Adrian comes in with a lit torch chasing him back.
That was
back in your room.
Back.
That was the best take that made it to the final film.
Yeah. Right.
No, we can't lose this one. It has too much nuance.
Yeah. A billion.
It's like a billion.
A billion what, though?
It's like a billion. It's more than a million.
Is it like a billion Rantlers? Or
I think that's what he I think that's what
billion
he
reindeer,
was.
Billion reindeer,
man? Hello.
It's like a billion.
Oh, and he's in this big white suit.
Back, Rocky. Rantlers.
Get in your box.
And so it's Don King's birthday. All right, we'll see if you know the answer to this. What type of bread was originally a German insult meaning farting bastard? And I will go to Justin. Let's see if he knows. Hi, Justin. Good morning.
What's up, guys?
Yo, buddy. What bread was originally a German insult meaning farting bastard?
Pumpernickel.
You, sir. Are correct. Hang on just a second, Justin. We're going to give you a 75 MX gift card and The Flash Season 4, Arrow Season 6, and Supergirl Season 3 on DVD. They're all available now on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital starting Sunday night at 8 p.m. You knew what I was laughing at. The CW Philly, tune into The Flash to kick off Elseworlds, the biggest superhero crossover event yet. And it's over three nights. Heroes of The Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl will encounter new enemies and destroy Destiny. Not destroy. Destiny will be rewritten. Who's unwrapping something? Is that you?
It's like a million papers.
If you ever had pumpernickel fresh.
I love it.
Fresh pumpernickel. Very good.
You know who makes actually a pretty good little pumpernickel loaf?
Who does?
It's
Rantlers?
No, not Rantlers. Outback Steakhouse.
Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, yes.
That's
what
that is.
They do.
A little warm
pumpernickel. Pumpernickel. Yeah.
So every table gets a farting bastard.
That's
at least
right.
One farting
everybody
bastard.
Gets. Everybody has a
Could
farting.
Could you heat
bastard.
Up my farting bastard?
All right. So where do we begin? We begin with Les Moonves. The lawyers at CBS hired to investigate the ousted CEO may have found cause to deny him his $120 million severance package.
I would say they absolutely have that.
According to a report in the New York Times, he was entitled to the $120 million only if he was found to be terminated without cause. The 56-page report obtained by the Times detailed the findings in an investigation into sexual harassment and assault claims made by 12 women against Moonves. And here's what to know about the findings and other details that have emerged since they published the story on Tuesday night. The investigation found that Moonves engaged in multiple acts of serious non-consensual sexual misconduct in and outside of the workplace, both before and after he came to CBS in 1995, including previously undisclosed allegations. Lawyers spoke to him on four separate occasions and found him to be evasive and untruthful.
He was hiding evidence.
Yeah, based on the facts developed to date, we believe that the board would have multiple bases upon which to conclude that the company was entitled to terminate Moonves for cause, the report said. According to the Times, he is said to have received oral from at least four CBS employees under circumstances that sound transactional.
I don't want to do this. It tastes bad.
Yes, Dan Rather.
I don't like it. It tastes woody. I'm a news anchor and respected. Please don't make me do this.
Come on, Rather. He apparently did have people who were sort of expected to provide this. For, like, he sort of held their jobs over their heads and yeah, disgusting. A disgusting guy.
Like Mike Wallace, was he one of them?
Mike Wallace, no. He wrote, why does Mike get away with it?
Why Mike doesn't get to do it?
Shut up.
In at least one case, Moonves reportedly tried to buy one victim's silence. He later was found to have lied about the encounter despite copious evidence to the contrary. He had deleted incriminating text messages and reportedly turned over his son's iPad to investigators.
I was reading some stories and some accounts from people who work, you know, now they're anonymous, so you don't know. But they paint a picture of a guy who's very, very Weinstein-esque, very much so. And if that's the case, it'd be criminal for him to walk away with $120 million.
Are there criminal charges in this case, or is it just...
Not that I know of, Nick. I haven't heard anything about that. One interesting point that emerged from the article, as The Blast points out, is that his wife, Julie Chen, seemed to have put an end to Moonves' reign of terror. When he married the Big Brother star in 2004, the allegations against him stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Since the stories first began emerging against Moonves, Chen has stuck by his side, even defending him. She stepped down from her role in The Talk, but remains as a host of Celebrity Big Brother.
Can I go home now?
Now, new allegation. June Seeley Kimmel, who shared her story with lawyers, also spoke about her alleged 1985 encounter with Moonves and The Hollywood Reporter. She said that after an audition, she said, he held me super close and proceeded to stick his tongue down my throat. It was revolting. Yeah. He didn't even kiss me, just the tongue down my throat.
All right. So
when she didn't respond to a second overture, she says she lost out on the part. That's what she said.
Then there are many stories like that.
Right.
This guy is filthy rich, tons of money.
Yes,
right?
He is. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It just seems to me like this is silly for him to put himself in a situation like this where he could literally afford a high-priced, beautiful hooker every single day of his life.
She would pretend that she liked you. But in both cases, I believe, with her, with him, and with Bill Cosby, it's not about that.
No, I know.
It's about feeling very predatorial.
Yeah, it's
that's moves. What's important to them.
It can be that way. By the way, people are texting and saying that the it's not pumpernickel at Outback. It's honey wheat.
Oh,
is that what it
honey
is?
About that?
What
hey.
Is it,
Nick?
Yeah.
I'm Dan Rather. This just in. Excuse me a second. The bread rumored to be served at Outback Steakhouse is not pumpernickel.
It's pumpernickel color.
Excuse me one second.
It's a cube.
You got a pube in
God
your teeth?
God almighty, yes.
It's great.
That's right where you get the pizza burn.
It's honey wheat Bushman bread.
So oh, well, as in keeping with an Australian Bushman.
I was incorrect. It's just because it's dark in color, I assumed it was pumpernickel. So
racist.
I'm wrong, okay? I'm racist.
It is served warm with delicious butter.
I agree.
Listen, some morning
we should, and we're not going to do it now because we have another restaurant.
For a
meet and eat, but we should talk about the best bread. We have talked about that before.
Yes, we have because we.
I'm going to make a note of that.
We are a bread show. Let's have a morning of bread.
Bread.
Can everybody bring the breads by. Oh my god,
their best. Because listen, that cannot go away. We've begged Tom Papa to bring in his sourdough bread.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
The best bread. Bring us your best bread.
And wait, are you talking about...
The complimentary bread that is offered when you sit down and would you guys like any more rolls? You know, that type of thing.
Because my favorite is a stuffed bread, but we're not talking about that.
We're talking about bread. The bread that stands on its own.
I agree. There's a fine line.
Yeah. All right, Marissa?
One of the best breads in the city, in my opinion, comes from the restaurant coming in today, the restaurant group, Park. Steven Starr's restaurant.
Oh, cannot. Yeah. Well, Steven Starr stuff is phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, Park was listed.
There was an article that came out. 6ABC was doing it this morning about the best restaurants in America, and there were like 8 of them from Philadelphia that were on there. And Park was one of them.
Yeah, it's a great restaurant.
Yep. All right. Well, if we do that, then I'll be able to sing "I Am the Bread of Life" from.
You will.
Oh yeah.
You will. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Back to music news. Sorry about that.
Jot that down. Music news.
Music news.
To entertainment news, which sometimes
is like a million news reports.
A billion of them.
A billion.
All right. Friends and family and fans reacted with outrage and disbelief after New York Magazine's The Cut published an article titled, Is Priyanka Chopra and Nick Jonas's Love for Real?
Oh, my God. Oh,
how critical
dare they? How dare they?
Skeptical piece has since been taken down with apologies from the editors.
Put it down?
But not before it ricocheted. Is that what this is? Or yeah, ricocheted across the internet. Thank you. That's how it's ricocheted. Ricocheted.
That's Yosemite Sam, right?
By the way, so last night, my wife was watching the show Quantico. I've never seen it before, so she started watching it. Priyanka Chopra is on that show. I did not know that.
Yes.
So I saw her. That is a stupid show. Have you watched it?
It's a very stupid show. And I initially watched the first couple of episodes, Preston, because of Priyanka Chopra.
Steve, they're way too good looking. It's too many, not one average looking person in the entire cast.
All stellar looking. All are very modelly. Substandard acting.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, and even the janitor is like,
Mowdy. That modelly quality.
Modelly quality.
No, everybody is a model. Everybody's like a male model or a lingerie model quality, and every single one of them in the cast is that way. And I just throw us normal looking people a bone, you know?
Well, when they go, like when she's at in Silence of the Lambs, when she's in Quantico, it looks like people in Quantico.
Yeah, so, listen, I understand it's the world of you want to have attractive people to look at on your shows. Yeah, two or three, and I'm in, man. That's all I need. But give me some normal people in there as well.
So we can identify. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can't watch those shows. I really, really, I can't. I just think they're cookie cutter, poor quality, and I won't do it. I won't. I'm not going to do a billion.
So this piece in The Cut was talking about whether or not their love is real, referred to Priyanka as a global scam artist.
What? Oh.
The pair spent last week celebrating their marriage and love in various Hindu-Christian ceremonies. We were talking about that. They were also granted several interviews to prominent outlets such as Vogue and People and shared photographs and video of their celebrations. While most people embraced the sharing, others saw it as a publicity grab. The piece read, at times marriage can be a beautifully wonderful union that warms even the coldest of hearts, but sadly this union evokes no such feeling.
Jesus Christ.
I know, right?
Why does it bother this person?
I don't know.
We were wondering why this was such the focus of the entertainment news, but it was kind of slow, and you're right. Yeah. Yesterday, there hasn't been a couple to affix to since the royal couple. So these are the ones that win or lose, depending on your take.
The article said all Nick wanted was a possible fling with Hollywood's latest It woman, but instead he wound up staring straight at a life sentence with a global scam artist. Really?
Who said this?
This is an article from a magazine.
Sounds like somebody was denied an interview at some point.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's New York Magazine.
Wow.
New York Magazine's The Cut. So anyhow, of course, Nick's older brother Joe condemned the piece, and Joe's fiance Sophie Turner went off on it. So they said it's a bunch of crap, and it does sound like it's a bunch of crap. But it got them all fired up about it. Hey, here's another couple that went astray, but some more news on this. Pete Davidson just wants to move on with life after a messy and very public breakup with Ariana Grande. With the No Tears Left to Cry singer, she wanted to stay in touch, he told her to cut it out. Apparently, this is according to a source, he blocked her and said, stop reaching out. You're not good for my health. I can't have this in my life.
So he blocked her on Instagram.
Yeah, he has confirmed that, or she has confirmed that he blocked her on social media. According to a screen grab of a private message with a fan, she wrote, I have never encouraged anything but forgiveness. I care deeply about Pete and his health and would never encourage any kind of mistreatment. I haven't seen any of it because I'm blocked, but I want you to know that I would never want to encourage that ever, and you should know that.
Well, I can understand what he's saying. He's like, he needs to have a clean break.
Sure.
He can't have her popping up and lingering there. He has been very candid about his emotional issues.
Yes.
And he has bipolar disorder.
Yeah, so if he needs if he needs some time, then yeah, he's going to. It says, yeah, he was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder.
Which, by the way, is different than bipolar.
Is it? Because yeah, I saw it written in one article as bipolar.
Yeah, I saw that as well, Steve, but that's I read an article yesterday, the day before, that said it is not bipolar.
What's the distinction, do they say?
I don't know. I don't know. But, Preston, can you give that name again?
Sure. It borderline personality disorder.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they have similar initials. It goes by BPD.
Yeah, no, because I saw it identified as that. Well, thanks for the clarification on that. I wanted to point out, Preston, because we have audio of it. James Corden did a very funny riff on the Ariana Grande song "Thank You Next,"
yes,
which is the big hit. Where she goes through her old lovers and says
her list.
Yeah, thank you for what you've given me in life. But he did it for Jeff Goldblum.
So I only heard just the tiniest clip of that song, and I haven't been bombarded.
I find
it
annoying.
When she's saying thank you next, meaning thanks for everything, but I'm moving on.
Well, thank you. You're the next. And here's the next chapter of my life. Like you, all of you together have helped me become a better person, is what she's saying. So, but there is like a next. That's what I got. Who the hell knows?
Right, let me play this. James Corden, but it's about Jeff Goldblum.
It's about Jeff Goldblum, yes.
By the way, I need to point out he's lying on a bed in silk pajamas. We are watching the video. It's much funnier with the video accompaniment.
Jeff Goldblum's amazing. It's a silver fox with black thick rim glasses.
And Goldblum's in the video.
Yeah, he's standing behind him.
And he talks will charm off your asses. And for that I say thank you, Jeff, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff, Jeff, thank you, Jeff, Jeff, thank you, Jeff. He's so freaking, he does more than just act. Plays a mean jazz piano, but when he tickles those keys, I just don't understand, bro. I interview a lot of celebs, forget the rest, cause I think Jeff Goldblum is my favorite guest.
Jeff Goldblum would be such a get. Yeah, you know, that's I think all of our collective bucket lists, if we could get him in the studio.
Yeah.
My cat's middle name is Jeff Goldblum.
That's right. I forgot about that. Apparently he blocked her, going back to the story. But he had blocked Ariana from
that's the reflexive thing, isn't it? When you break up with someone, if it's a little bit tumultuous, you block them on their...
And it makes sense to do
that.
Did you really watch... you were there for... David Tell, right, Preston?
Yes, I was. Okay. Part of it. I was talking to Joe DeRosa.
Okay. Did you see the bit where he said, all right, tell me what you're drinking, and I'll tell you what you'll do.
Yes.
Okay. Because one of them, I think, was like white wine. He goes, okay, you're going to go home and give your cat a middle name.
Yes. That was great.
So
this is a follow-up to a story that we've mentioned over the years. And I just a couple of weeks ago, there is a house in Westfield, New Jersey. Remember that this person is receiving letters saying that there's the watcher.
Yeah, and it's
been going on for years and years.
An incredibly chilling story.
Yeah. Well, now we may find out what is within the walls of the Westfield home targeted by a stalker, or at least the artistic interpretation of it. Netflix has purchased the feature rights to the story. Netflix, and by the way, they won the rights to deal after a ferocious bidding battle that involved six studios, included Universal for Jason Blum, Warner Brothers for Roy Lee, Paramount for J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot, Amazon for producer Michael Sugar, and Fox for Peter Chernin.
This was like that bit of Battleful Fiddle-Faddle.
Yeah. Henry Joost and Ariel Schulman are attached to direct, and Eric Newman and Brian Unkles. Will produce. Joost and Schulman directed genre features Paranormal Experience 3 and Paranormal Experience 4. Newman was a producer on Narcos and Unkless produced I, Tonya. So they've got some real talent behind
it. Do you know what's interesting here? I think that when we last spoke about this, I brought up the Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
Which was a story that was concocted by the people. Because you were even reporting, Preston, there's not many people outside of a small group of people that really have experienced this story. But it's incredibly compelling. Yep. It seems legitimate. But there's a lot of vagueness to what's going on. I'm going to watch it because I find if this is anywhere near true,
right,
it's amazingly compelling.
But you're thinking maybe they made it up.
But well, there hasn't.
It doesn't
mean
I'm not going to watch it though.
No, I'll watch it for sure. Yeah.
Just because there hasn't been any resolution to this whole thing, like,
and we're talking over years.
I know, but we don't know why or what or whatever. So I don't necessarily care.
I think what happens
about Netflix because I don't. Whatever ending they're going to come up with is not what really happened.
Right.
So what do I care?
Or it may not be an ending. It may be just
an ongoing thing.
But if you take it as just a premise for a show, it's kind of cool.
It is that ultimate sort of being held captive to.
Yeah.
You're basically being held captive without being held captive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, moving on. Jessica Simpson is responding to Natalie Portman's remark to USA Today. Saying, I remember being a teenager, and there was Jessica Simpson on the cover of a magazine saying I'm a virgin while wearing a bikini, and I was confused. Like, I don't know what this is trying to tell me as a woman, as a girl. Well, in response, 38-year-old Simpson tweeted, Natalie Portman, I was disappointed this morning when I read that I confused you by wearing a bikini and a published photo taken of me when I was still a virgin in 1999. As public figures, we both know our image is not totally in our control at all times. And that the industry we work for is often that we work in often tries to define us and box us in. However, I was taught to be myself and honor the different ways all women express themselves, which is why I believe then and I believe now that being sexy in a bikini and being proud of my body are not synonymous with having sex.
Wait, and I'm not following this.
This was a picture from years and years ago at the height of Jessica Simpson's pop
right, and
career.
It said she was a virgin. So what?
She was a virgin.
Natalie Portman just saw this girl being very, very sexual in a photo and her saying that she was a virgin. She was a young girl when she saw it. And she's like,
what does it say?
Really saying you're a virgin, but you're acting like that. So anyway, it's just a statement that she made. And she wasn't complaining. They asked her about it. And so she apologized quickly. Rightfully so, I guess. She said, and I'll explain when she says the apology. She said, I was talking about the confusion I felt as a young girl seeing the messages that I felt the media was sending out to young girls about very specific ways we should be. And I made a mistake to say a name. It was absolutely not directed at her, and I feel bad that she was hurt. So she was just...
The apology is sincere.
She just used her as an example.
But if you want to talk about having conflicting messages and conflicting imagery, The Professional, the film The Professional...
Oh, my God.
They sexualize Natalie Portman.
Of course.
She's like 13 in that movie.
She was,
She's basically the love interest for the hitman.
Yep. Jennifer Aniston has reacted with complete honesty to reports that she sought out therapy following her split from Justin Theroux. The 49-year-old told Extra when asked, I've been in therapy for years. So she just she has no problem talking about it. She's currently promoting Dumplin', which is set to land on Netflix December 7th.
Is Dolly Parton in that movie?
Oh, I don't know.
Dumplin'? I don't know.
Because Jennifer Aniston is apparently in a new film with Dolly Parton. And I know this Dumplin' movie is out. And I'm wondering if Dolly Parton is in that because they have them appearing and selling a movie that they're in together.
Yeah. All right. And then one last thing. In honor of Red Nose Day, which is a charity day in the U.K., the cast and creators of the iconic comedy Four Weddings and a Funeral are reuniting to make a short film dubbed One Red Nose Day and a Wedding. The cast will include Hugh Grant, Annie McDowell, Kristen Scott Thomas, John Hannah, and many others. Mike Newell has returned to direct the new installment, which will take place 25 years after the original film. Did you guys see it?
I did. I liked it.
I never saw it.
There are other ones. There are other Hugh Grant films, like about a boy. I think I enjoy more. But it's cute.
What is the movie? Because I've got this confused with something else. The movie, they did an English version and an American version of it, where everybody goes to this house for a funeral.
Three bar mitzvahs and a pig roast.
No, and the one guy trips acid by accident.
Oh.
And ends up on the roof naked.
A wedding and a funeral.
Death at a funeral?
Death at a funeral.
Was that it?
That's it, yes. Because it was a remake. They did one with James Marsden.
Yes, he's the guy that ends up
He's the guy who ends up, right. And that's a remake of a British film.
Yeah, that's why I said there was a British version and an American version.
I know, I heard it on the radio.
And it was hilarious. But I get those titles confused. Death at a Funeral.
There we go.
It. Okay, thank you, Nick. So anyhow.
For that Red Nose Day thing, they did a similar thing with Love Actually last year or the year before. And then Hugh Grant did that as well. And it was cool. It was basically the cast.
Andrew Lincoln, too, right?
15 years later. Yeah, everybody, a lot of members of the cast, they all grows up.
I think Death at a Funeral is the press junket we sent Lauren Harris to, where she got the pineapple juice thing from.
That's right, because Tracy Morgan and not Owen Wilson, but
Luke Wilson?
Luke Wilson is in it, yeah. Fine bowl of pineapple juice.
It will run on BBC and NBC on Friday, March 15th, and Red Nose Day was founded in 1985 and aims to end child poverty. All right, we're going to move over to the Clips. So, in the new film, Ben is back.
What?
It says, in the new film, Ben is back and son finds himself in serious trouble.
Oh, yeah.
When he returns home to his family on Christmas Eve.
This is so horribly written.
In this clip, Julia Roberts and Lucas Hedges talk about bonding before the film. Here we go.
We're an unlikely pair. Personality-wise, because I'm so chipper.
Well, as in I'm so downer.
No, you're not downer. You're just complicated. I'm very simple.
There you go.
I'm very simple. And so to have the luxury of having Lucas in my home, I feel if you want to get to know someone in under 5 minutes, walk into their house.
Yeah.
Right. There's all their stuff. Yeah. It pretty much says a lot about a person. So that was important to me.
I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Let's do it live. Peter
we'll
Hedges.
Do it live!
Peter Hedges wrote and directed it, and his son Lucas Hedges stars in it. Ben is back.
And we have video of him flipping the bird to us.
Ben is back opens tomorrow. Let's do the next clip. Superstore follows several supermarket employees trying to live their lives while making ends meet. This season follows how pregnancy can be affected in the workplace. And here Ben Feldman talks about working with the cast on set.
It's the funniest group of people I've ever worked with and the funniest group of people you could be in a room with. And so people always ask, like, what's a funny thing that happened this year in the season? But ours is just like, you're just crying laughter every single day at work.
What are you doing?
Superstore premieres on the NBC tonight.
It appears on the NBC tonight. So on my DVR, I have about 300 episodes of the show because I watched it once and liked it. So I don't know record that.
All right. And that's what I have for you in the entertainment report for you this morning, my friend. So we are going to have comedian Tom Cotter stopping by. We're going to do more invites for the Presidency Christmas Miracle that's coming up on the 20th. The gang from Steven Star Restaurants are stopping in. We'll have some gift cards giveaway with that. But right now, I'd like to give away some passes to see the screening of the Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse, which we have on Sunday at 11 a.m. And if you would like to go, it's going to be at the UA Riverview. Let's get five people on board and give you a pair of tickets to see that. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Let's make that happen. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us this morning.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
Thank you very much, Kath. Okay, I'm gonna bring up this thing that Nick had mentioned to us yesterday. A bit of a conundrum and might be happening, especially this time of year when people share food with one another as gifts.
Yes.
Or you're going to a party and you're bringing some food along. Did you hear about this, Kathy?
I did not, but I'm going to a cookie exchange party tonight.
Then it speaks directly to you.
Oh, God. Am I going to be grossed out? No. People's cookies.
Well, it might gross you out. Yeah.
Yes. You will be grossed out by it.
Man. Well, and then don't lose that concept of the cookie exchange party. I want to hear about this.
Okay.
But go ahead, Nick.
So the conundrum is it was really nice gesture and the cookies were delicious. But they were given to me by a family friend, and I was so grateful to them. And on what day is it? On Monday or Tuesday night, I was just watching TV and kind of shoving a few into my mouth. And I was probably on cookie number 3 or 4.
Oh, yeah.
And bit down on something that was not supposed to be in the cookie.
How could you was think it I the be grossed out?
Back part of a rat?
Steve, I'm not kidding. My first reaction was I thought it was a cockroach. because it was like...
Oh, Kathy Silva's gagged right
there. May I suggest something? Sometimes when you make cookies, and if the cookie dough isn't, you know, mixed properly, you'll get like a... Concentrate like a little.
Okay, I thought that too.
Yeah. An eggshell,
perhaps an eggshell, or something that the mix hadn't been stirred up properly. Right,
and that happens,
and that does happen. But no. it was not that.
Was it
not
bleeding?
No, and it wasn't a cockroach, and it wasn't a shell.
It was a used tampon.
It was not a used tampon.
Oh my God!
Who bakes with used tampons?
No,
well, we put in ours. But
well, you know what? I don't know these people that well, so no. But the conundrum also is that they listen to the show. So it's not that I'm not grateful for the cookies, because it was so sweet, and they really were delicious, except that even, Kathy, even I stopped
eating. Did you take it out of your mouth? Do you know what it was?
I don't know what it was. I couldn't figure it out. Casey, I kept it, but it got thrown out yesterday, the day before.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you this. So you know who these people are. Do you, will you say something to them?
I don't think so.
Okay. But you just did.
I know.
Yes, because
I'm a coward, and I figured I'd bring it up on the air instead.
It's easier to do it that way. It is.
Totally.
But that does beg the question, if you have found something in someone, food that someone has given to you, do you say something to them?
If I was to find something like the ass of a rat, yes, I would mention that. If it's something that's just like an anomaly, no, because you don't want to... My question is, what was the consistency of it? Was it hard?
It was hard like an eggshell, but it was not an eggshell. Like, I was inspecting this thing and trying to figure out what it was. I set it aside, and then I got thrown out yesterday or the night before.
If you had legitimate fear that other people might be encountering something, like if you had a piece of glass or something.
Exactly.
That, or something that was sharp that, you know, I think the onus would be on you to let them know, hey, there might be something else in your cookies. You may want to, they're delicious, but I'm dying because
my throat is bleeding.
Yeah.
Do they have kids?
Yes.
Okay, because there is a strong possibility that one of their children was helping them make, because I've done this, and you know, like, basically the whole egg just goes into the batch of cookies.
I didn't think that.
It's quite possible.
Yeah, so I really...
Eggshells are a big culprit in cookies.
But it was a tight roll of something, so it was...
Was it a used tampon?
It was not a used tampon. It was a small... It was no longer than the length of my thumbnail.
Was it a human thumb?
It was not a human thumb.
That's big, Nick.
It was big. Yeah, I mean, I pulled it out of my mouth.
And you couldn't tell what it was? Was it that big?
I couldn't tell what it was, no.
Oh, my God. And it was rolled up.
What do you mean?
Was it a mummified penis?
No.
Can you draw it? Or
it was like a, you know, like if you find a tiny little shell on the beach. A seashell.
Yeah. And the shell has a used tampon in it.
Drop the used tampon thing.
Well, I'm thinking like maybe something from the butter. Like, could it have been the wrapping of the butter or even the cardboard rolled up?
It got cooked in.
By the way, with sugar and everything, if it gets in baking, if it gets solidified, it becomes, you can have these little crystalline sort of.
Yeah, but it wasn't that. I know what you're saying. Yeah, okay. But it was not that.
It was enough to alarm you.
Yeah. Was it translucent or?
No, it was white. It sort of looked like an eggshell. Consistency,
wait,
but it was definitely
like,
not.
But it wasn't.
Do we know what
shell.
Kind of cookie we were eating?
It was a used tampon. Oh,
Jesus. Had a string on it.
Easy for eating.
Yeah, chocolate and peanut butter.
Chocolate and peanut.
Oh, that's a good cookie.
It was a really good. That's a good cookie. Why I was on at least cookie number 5 or 6.
I have people. Well, okay, so here. Oh my God.
Wait, did you throw the rest of the cookies out?
Yeah. And that's like, and you know me, Kath.
Nick will be the one, there'll be like four lions eating a zebra, and Nick will be the one, he'll eat around where they were eating.
Yeah.
So I have this cookie exchange party that I'm going to tonight, and it really is, I've done them before.
They're fun.
But you guys probably...
I've never been to one.
You guys probably don't think this, but I do. I think all of the time when there's something that is cooked or baked by somebody else, immediately goes to my head, what is their kitchen like? What are they like? Are they clean people? I swear to God. I swear. Don't roll your eyes. It's me. You know it's me.
I know, Kathy, for years.
But I look at them and I wonder what their kitchen is like.
At the Camp Out for Hunger, people came up and this woman... wonderfully appointed. She was so sweet, and they baked me cookies. The cookies were delicious. If Gary Lauer comes up,
that's what I mean.
That doesn't mean I won't take a good look at him because I like cookies and see what he happened to make a fine tray of brownies for the Matt Cord broadcast a few years ago.
He did?
No,
and I said, you know what? Yeah, and they were good.
What if, Kathy? What if he came up to you and said, "Here, I made you these cookies. I want to see you try one right now."
They're so good.
Well, listen,
now you might wake up a little bit later.
A little groggy.
Yeah.
Also,
you got to try one of my Benadryl cookies.
It's so good.
Side note to the cookie exchange party. A few years ago, I went to this same party, and I made, I have to make 7 dozen. I was making 24 as a dozen. And I'm like,
are you serious?
Wait a minute.
You thought a dozen was 24 cookies?
How many is a dozen?
You made 14 dozen cookies.
Yes. I had cookies for days.
All right. So here's a perfect Dale, on the cookie topic. My mother was a fastidious baker. I've said this story before. She would literally use a ruler. It should be about an inch in diameter. And we would have
perfect cookies.
Tubs of frozen cookies in our freezer because there'd just be a ton of them. Have you ever encountered anything in the process on the other end? Now, it's your own cookie. We had bit into it and there was something in it.
No, because, okay. Honestly, and if there's like a batch that Jace helps make and a few extra things get in there, I'm not taking that dozen over to the cookie exchange party.
I'm going to go to Megan. This might be the case. Hi, Megan. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks, guys.
Hey, what's up, Megan?
Sometimes is that if you have a really, really strong mixer, like a really good name brand mixer, it'll be so strong that it actually shears off a piece of the bowl.
Yeah, if they're using a ceramic bowl.
Wow.
And that is part of it.
That's the truth. You're exactly right.
I mean, it was hard, like a ceramic material. That could have been it.
Oh. What about the string attached to it, though?
Dude.
Damn it.
Thank you, Megan. That's a good that's a good
that might have been it, man.
You never know.
All right, yeah. Growing up,
yes,
Mrs. McDonald, wonderful woman, mm-hmm. and her we used to call her husband Old McDonald. Had her thing was her holiday cookies, and everyone was just effusive about these cookies. They were horrible.
Oh, really?
And we couldn't.
Oh man,
we were always socializing, so there was no way to demur, and you would always be given try one of these. Right. So you always had to go. She made pumpkin cookies. Mrs. McDonald's pumpkin cookies.
Yeah.
The tray comes in and we're there. If you were to go out to the farm and chew into the side of a pumpkin, that's what it tastes like.
Right. Yeah.
There was no effort to sweeten it. Right. I mean, I think honestly she meant the idea of anything that's named after was to replicate exactly the uncooked raw version of whatever it was.
Wow. Yeah.
So these tasted like raw pumpkin shells.
Ew.
Yeah. They were horrible.
I had a friend whose mom just made, makes, because if she continues to make, the worst meatballs I've ever had in my entire life.
And she tries to pass them off as cookies?
No, I'm just saying, but like, they were horrible, Steve. And I found out the hard way that they were terrible.
These
and
aren't
they
cookies?
They were so bad that like, anytime I was there and they're like, oh, do you want to eat over? I'd be like, what do you have, meatballs? No, I'm out of here. Like, they were terrible.
So she knew you hated them?
No, but okay, I'm not going to hurt her feelings, kind of the same way Nick doesn't want to hurt the feelings of what's the name of the person?
What's your friend's name?
Yeah.
The worst is when this is their specialty and they serve you here, try some, and then you bite into it in front of them and they go, they're great, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They
That was pumpkin cookie nightmare because every season it's like, here's the new batch.
Yeah.
Or I've added something to it. I still have nightmares over that.
Real quick, I'm going to go to Tom concerning the cookie thing. Hey, Tom, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
A total nightmare story, but you can't help but love it. My grandmother, when we were younger, she was all like 4 foot nothing. And, little German lady, and she made the best chocolate chip Christmas cookies. And they were so good that we would call, Mom, did you make the cookies yet? Because, we had other family members that wanted to get in there and get that first batch of cookies. So we got the first batch of cookies this one year, and I guess we just got right into them. And the same thing happened to me. I thought, like, a tooth fell out, or my tooth. It was just that hard. And I started, mushing through the cookie, and I picked it out, and I had to clean it up.
Yeah.
And I showed my mom. We couldn't figure out what it was. My mom said, that's glass.
Oh. It was a shard of broken glass?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. My mom was frantic. She was, you know, she didn't know where it would come from. Was it in the ingredients or what?
Did you get cut at all? Was the inside of your mouth?
No, I guess I was just lucky. I just bit right into the right away. I thought that's a hard walnut or that's a chocolate chip, but it was just way too hard.
Tom, had you gotten a bad grade on your report card? That happened. Gum was trying to take you out.
Wow. The nuts would do that.
So did your mom let her know that the batch might have been?
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen, she called her up, and then it was almost like she was talking around it, and then finally we got it out of her. Well, I thought I got all the glass.
Oh, my God. She let it. Well, that's what sometimes they get a little lightheaded.
Yeah.
She let a batch of broken glass-tainted cookies go out for dispersal.
She was from the
old world where they ate glass.
And everything, and you don't want to like waste a whole batch of cookies.
Nick, that's your Wonder Woman there.
You're right. Yeah.
Thanks,
Tom. Yeah. Like your grandma.
My mother-in-law used to make, and again, I forgot this whole thing, and this goes all the way through my wife's current, you know, the whole extended family. We're going to be seeing them for the holidays. They love mom's, my mother-in-law, who's since passed away, brownies.
Yeah.
So if you want to replicate my mother-in-law's brownies at home,
what do you do?
Get a 6-inch by 3-inch piece of balsa wood and put some baker's sugar on top.
Okay, all right, there you go.
And eat that.
Yeah.
And they rave on it.
Do they? The whole family?
And they're all
because they grew up on it.
Oh, and Preston, they are individually wrapped in wax paper as each one is a Fabergé egg.
Yeah.
And I'm like. Or I feel like the one guy at Jim Jones' compound there. What's wrong with you?
Are you so, Steve? Are you like polite about it and have one to be nice?
I have let them. I think they taste unique. No. Unique is a good word to pull out.
Yeah. Is this unique?
Unique.
I love it.
You know what? It's funny going back to the foreign object and the food. Most of the time, I'm kind of like Nick. I won't let it deter me from finishing what I'm eating.
No,
because
it has to be a bloody tampon.
Well, yeah. Then I might pull back.
But otherwise, you can eat around it.
Have you ever eaten something and you, there's no way. You feel something in your mouth, and I'm like wondering, did one of my fillings come out or something? You know, it's kind of almost hard but gritty. And
are you ever drinking coffee through a straw, and one of your teeth falls out?
Seen it happen to me. You know what though? It's the thought process that for me, like if that were to happen, if there'd be something gritty or something, it will ruin it. Like I will think about it for the rest of the meal, and I won't be able to finish it.
Sometimes though, it's like a found little.
Yeah.
Like with a cookie, if you hit like a little extra batch of like a little chocolate cluster.
Yeah.
That's like a gift from God.
Let me ask Kathy a question real quick. Right. I know, Casey, you got something you want to say, but let's say if it's something like natural, Kathy. Like, so I been into a Kalamata olive the other day with the salad I was having, and a little bit of one of the stones was in there, meaning the pit.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, it drove me crazy. Could you continue on eating?
Yeah, no, that would be okay. Or like even like honestly, this. So my cousin made this. Remember a dirt cake, or like pudding or whatever.
Yeah, use tampons.
Love that. So she used to make that for the kids. And
what is dirt cake?
It's like I think it's like might be like crushed.
It's like pudding and crushed Oreos.
Oreos.
And it looks like
I've had it. Yeah. It's excellent. Yeah.
So she made it one time, and we still laugh about it today. But as we were eating it, she, I guess, didn't mix it well enough, and there were chunks of butter. So we were, like, biting into chunks of butter. Now, although it was disgusting, that didn't, like, I could continue on with that. If it was, like, someone's hair or what Nick experienced, different. A fingernail, that's different.
A hair will freak me out. Yeah. Especially a long hair. I've closed off restaurants. Or in bakeries, anytime I find a hair, I just can't go there again.
Well, and it's different for you. You're bald, but like the majority of the time when I pull a hair out, I know probably it's
yours.
Probably mine.
Okay.
All right. So talking about being a little bit scarred, and I think of this every now and again, and I still don't know what it was, but I was dining out. Preston, you got to look at me real quick. I was dining out when I was around 18 years old, and I came across something in there in the meal that was plastic, all right? And I hadn't really...
Was it a G.I. Joe?
I don't know what it was. But, Steve, it literally, because of what I was eating, it could have been a piece of a tampon. I don't know. I have no clue. I swear to God.
Are you...
Yeah, he was providing oral pleasures. Is what
yeah,
he,
Casey took his...
The context is...
Casey took his index finger and his middle finger and stuck his tongue between
it, it
them.
It doesn't have impact unless you... Yeah.
That's why I had to
And
look
I was
at
brand
him.
New to this restaurant.
I thought you were going to say... I thought you were going to say I found the best cookie ever.
I think maybe this is like the second or third time I had ever eaten at this restaurant. Yeah.
But the service was wonderful
the
up until then.
The service was wonderful yeah. up until then.
And then you and... flipped it over for dessert.
Chocolate mousse.
And look, free drink refills.
Plastic.
Yes.
And it you was, pulled it out?
And I pulled it out, and I didn't think I ever wanted to eat at that restaurant again.
And Casey.
Or any of the
Casey,
other franchises.
When you finally used it, yes. did it say drink more Ovaltine?
Or any of the other franchises. I wasn't sure I would ever step into another franchise again. But I did, guys.
Okay, yeah. and you never found out what that was?
Never. Well, it's not like you could stop in the middle and go,
I'm going to be with guys from now on.
What is this?
What the hell is this?
Wow. Okay, never heard that one before.
Some of those restaurants.
I have an option for you.
Yeah. I like that restaurant, Casey. That's
it's a good one.
It's a good one. You guys ever have a bouche de Noël, which is that French...
blood in your stool. French for blood in your stool.
No, it's the French holiday cake that it's like a Yule log, but it's a chocolate cake.
Yes, I've had it. Okay. It's delicious.
It's really good. But part of the French tradition for making a bouche de Noël is that they hide a little bean in it. And that if it's like we were talking yesterday about the when you hide the pickle in the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Whoever finds the bean.
Or it's like a king cake, too, where they had the baby in it.
Okay.
They put a human baby in it?
No, it's from New Orleans. Anyway, it's from Mardi Gras, yeah.
All right, so I guess it's a similar tradition, right? But and whoever finds it wins a prize or whatever. So this tradition of the French bouche de Noël, it's a holiday thing. But you don't know that it's coming. Like, you're looking for this bean, and so you're eating all this cake.
I can follow through your story.
It's weird.
So Greek New Year's bread has in wax paper a dime rolled up in it. I ate the dime 1 year.
That's right.
I didn't know.
You didn't. When you don't know that it's coming.
So I mean, it was right. I took I took the full mouthful of bread, and the little dime was wrapped up in the wax paper. In the middle of the piece that I obviously had, it had to be me.
Yeah,
because no one had gotten it up to that point.
Yeah,
I don't remember passing it.
Yeah, that prize is not so great.
Yeah,
let me go to Beth. Hi, Beth. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Beth?
So many, many years ago, my aunt, we were visiting, and she made some frozen daiquiris, and she was using a wooden spoon. And when she came out to serve the daiquiris, she said, oh, the wooden spoon got caught a little at the end, so you might find some wood chips.
Wait a minute, so it got caught in the blender?
But it wasn't wood chips. It was like the whole wooden spoon in all of the daiquiris. So we were all pulling wood chips out of our mouths.
And she just didn't want to toss them out and start over again. Which I guess she didn't have any more mixer left.
Oh, no, she had plenty of that.
She's just a cheap bastard.
Oh my God! So she admitted it. Yeah, that's like it's like the lady serving the cookies with the glass. She knew it. Why waste it?
Glass is some. If you get glass broken up in whatever you're making, you've got to throw it all out.
Of course you do.
You can't play the odds.
Oh no, it can kill you. I mean,
yes.
Something really bad could happen out of that. Absolutely. Hang on, we had a couple of texts come in concerning something like this. I'll go to Susan. Hi, Susan. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, Susan?
All right. So we have a friend who has a hunting camp out by Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, and he knows that I love Scrapple. The secret of loving Scrapple is not to think about what's in it.
Right, of course.
That is sage advice. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yes. So he tells me he has this butcher friend, and he's going to bring me back a brick of this Scrapple because it's so affordable, yada, yada, yada. One morning, I make the Scrapple for breakfast. I bite into it, and it's something very hard that I knew didn't belong in the Scrapple.
Okay.
I spit it out on my plate, and it's a metal clink and a bounce. It was buckshot.
It was buckshot.
No way.
Really? Oh, my God.
That happens with turkeys.
Yeah, yeah. You find that a lot in fowl.
Yes.
Or because a lot of times they use shotguns. But wait a minute. Scrapple's pork, right? Who's going out shooting a pig with a shotgun?
You never go on the annual pig shoot?
They're huge in Wellsboro.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Interesting, Susan.
Everyone wakes up early for tampon cookies and then they go out and shoot pigs.
Did this guy make his own Scrapple?
Yes, but I mean, out of what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Well, scrap, and you're right, though. Thanks, Susan. And I know, Preston, you're a fan of Spam.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. If it's done, but you just don't ask what it is.
No, why do you
need to know that?
By the way, apparently there are other traditions for putting things inside of food.
Okay. Yeah.
Texas says Russian people had a coin or peppercorn in their dumplings.
Huh.
Coin for wealth and pepper, you know, is what it says here. So that's a little risky, putting a coin in anything.
Have you ever had the Greek New Year's bread?
Uh-uh.
My neighbor just, she wasn't Greek, but her husband was growing up, and she just made phenomenal Greek food, and this bread was delicious. But, you know, I'm like, I'm not a big fan of hidden items in my food.
No, and I didn't know there were all these traditions. And I know we're circulating through a few different versions of this conversation, but let me go back to people have their prized dish and are excited to share it with you, and it turns out that it's not so good. I'm going to go to Tyler. Hey, Tyler, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thank you, my man. What's up?
Not much. Well, I have a couple of guys in my office who, like, all claim to be really good cooks. And this one guy just talked all kinds of trash. He said he made the best chili in the world. It was like a secret family recipe. So we decide that we're going to have a chili cook-off. And everybody brings their chili in the morning. They bring the crock pots in. They're sitting in the kitchen. They get them all warmed up. And this guy's still talking trash. And he's like, oh, you guys' chili looks terrible. This is like, I'm going to wipe the floor with you. So he leaves to go to a customer. And lunchtime rolls around. We all start eating it. And it's horrible. Just horrible. I mean, everybody's like, this is the worst chili I've ever had. It's like straight out of a can, and like I hate it.
Yeah.
So we start voting, and we're like, we got to get the whiteboard out. Like, it's a chili cook-off. We got to vote.
Yeah.
And so we start putting it up on the board. The guy comes in and he's like, "Hey, so everybody, how's everybody like the chili, huh?"
Oh, no.
Looks up at the board, and he's in dead last. I mean, not a single person voted him.
But he was sure. He was sure he had a killer recipe.
Oh, absolutely, like, stone cold. And, like, to the very moment he walked in the door, was still talking trash, like...
But you know what? The bragging over your chili or over your sauce or whatever, that's par for the course. I get that, where people take pride in it. The thing... When you end up being the lab rat, the person who in earnest has to sit there and taste it in front of them while they're eagerly awaiting your response, that's a nightmare.
Tyler, what did he protest at the end of the contest?
No, like he was thoroughly embarrassed. And like, I mean, it was like we all had to vote and we put it all up there and he got third place from every single person that voted.
Oh, man.
And he eventually thought we were just trying to, like, give him a hard time. He's like, okay, I get it. And we're like, no, really, man, sorry.
Don't worry.
Your chili sucks.
I'll be bringing some in for all of you. Yeah. I got it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Thanks, Tyler, by the way. That's the thing. If you have a dish that you love, that you make, you can't brag about it until other people tell you how great it is.
What do you think of this? So like with the brownies that, you know, and my family loves them, and that's great, you know. But I mean, and then it's all subjective.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe this guy did have somebody who loved that chili.
Yeah.
But you're right, Preston. Before you start going and bragging, it's the best.
Yep. Wait for people giving their honest, their unsolicited opinion.
Let them tell you.
Yeah.
My mom used to make this dessert called Camp Coffee Buns. I've never had anything like it anywhere except for where, you know, at my house. I think you guys would love it.
Camp Coffee Buns?
Camp Coffee Buns.
Isn't that a porn movie?
essentially, you know, it's two cups of sugar and four sticks of butter. And that's how you make it.
Really?
It is so delicious.
Is that the only recipe?
Hang on, back up a second, because I was reading text messages.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, who makes this?
My mom.
Your mom makes Camp Coffee Buns.
That's what they were called, Camp Coffee Buns. And so, do you guys like cherry pie filling?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Does she
still make them?
Yeah, you know what? I should make those. It's been decades since I've had them.
You should.
Yeah.
You know when it's made correctly, what I love and was just recently turned on to it the past 7 or 8 years? Monkey bread.
Monkey bread's phenomenal.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to make it all the time.
Do you make it with, like, butterscotch pudding? And
I make it with actual monkeys.
Oh.
No.
We use...
I don't even know what's in it.
Brown sugar, butter, white sugar, and we would just use, I forgot what kind of dough we would use. It was,
I would just grab biscuits.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Biscuits.
I think you grab biscuits and you put them in, there's cinnamon in there,
yeah.
And then you make a syrup that goes on top of it. And this, this looks like a bundt cake that we're seeing a picture of. Monkey bread I've had are, you put them in a bundt mold, but
yes.
they're balls of dough,
yep.
And they eventually,
yeah.
Then you can pick one at a time and eat it like a monkey when monkeys are cleaning each other. I guess that's where it gets its name, because you pick at it.
Okay.
I think that's
the way I was eating it, yes.
Yeah, I think that's what they call it, monkey bread, but it's very, very good.
By the way, my Russian friend said they do not put quarters in dumplings, and that guy's a moron.
No, we do not put quarters in like a million quarters in my monkey bread. Adrian, the monkey keeps hopping out of the pot. Rocky, you idiot. I was trying to surprise you. I'm making monkey bread. But the little bastard keeps jumping out.
Rattlers.
Hey, and I think instead of our, we normally do a lunch to do our Pollyanna, we should do a cookie exchange.
Instead of lunch?
Yeah.
So
in the studio. We could just do it in the studio.
We got a shipment of cookies that just came in today, like three different boxes. It's back there by the printer. And it's, you know, I don't care. Even, does anyone, everyone has some holiday cookie they like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
So
yeah.
There's a nice array, because there's some that I don't like, but I've never met anyone. We've met people who don't like music, but somebody.
Some people don't like sweets at all.
Some people don't like chocolate milk, which blows me away. But
I don't like chocolate milk.
I know,
milk.
You're right.
Yeah.
They're called commies.
I thought everybody liked that and macaroni and cheese.
Have you guys ever had a Buckeye?
Yeah, Buckeyes are good.
What is that?
Wait, what is that again?
They're like little graham cracker peanut butter balls that are dipped in chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh,
they're pretty tasty.
You didn't eat them before.
Yeah. No, listen. Balls are great, and you can keep that if you want. You can save that. Any type of
ball sacks are yummy.
Any type of holiday ball is usually pretty damn good.
What was that ball that the guy brought in one time? I think, was it testicle ball? No, I think it was Oreos crunch.
Oh.
And what was that?
It's basically ground up Oreos with the cream that is used in the Oreo as a little Oreo ball.
And then it was dipped in chocolate, right?
Some of them were just plain, but they were phenomenal.
Yeah, they were good.
Can I go back to something somebody said earlier?
Please.
Nick, you had mentioned Yule log.
Yeah, that which is a bouche de Noël, yeah.
So Yule log is something you eat?
Yes.
No. Well, no, hold on. No, the Yule log that you've heard of over the years is a televised fire on TV, right?
I watch it every holiday, yeah. And you can get it on demand in HD.
It used to run in New York exclusively. You know, a lot of people didn't have...
WPIX.
Yeah, they didn't have fireplaces in their home, so they would show the Yule log, and you would just put your TV on and look like you had a fire in your living room.
Oh, right.
That's what a Yule log was.
But the dessert version of the Bouche de Noël in the U.S. is affectionately called a Yule log. Yeah.
All right, what is Clark Griswold referencing in Christmas Vacation, then? Is he referencing that?
I don't remember.
Okay.
What
not
part
in the sense
of the movie was
that I think
log.
That I have a log. When he gets all flustered with the lingerie chick at the...
I don't know.
No.
It's probably the Yule log.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that part. Let me see here. Oh, no.
What?
All right. You want to be grossed out?
Yes.
Right. I'm going to go to Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Preston.
Hey, what's up,
Sorry
Dave?
To bother you guys at work.
It's okay, buddy. What's up?
My grandmother used growing up, she made the most kick-ass chicken and dumplings you ever had.
Okay.
But as she got older, her nose would start dripping.
You
never noticed it? One time we're over there watching her making it, yep. And her nose was dripping into the pot.
Oh, God almighty.
I could not even...
I would have beat her to death with a toaster.
It's part of the secret recipe. That's why they were so good, Dave. Oh my God, that's
wait, don't serve them yet. I haven't pissed in it.
Oh, dear God.
Okay, thank you for that one. Nick pulled up the definition of Yule log. You want me to read that real quick
just
to make sure that we're on the up and up? The Yule log, Yule clog, or Christmas block is a specially selected log burnt on a hearth as a Christmas tradition in a number of countries in Europe. The origin of the folk custom is unclear. Numerous scholars have observed that, like other traditions associated with Yule, the custom may ultimately derive from Germanic paganism. So I guess it's a specific log that was burned for the fire, and eventually that turned into a tradition on television.
And we would actually, it was part of the joke, part of the, you talk about weird holiday traditions. My brother and I would sit there with marshmallows on sticks by the TV.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
And pretend like you're.
Yeah, exactly.
Toast and marshmallows. Interesting. All right, so thank you for sharing these messed up stories. And I apologize those who were on hold for a long time that I didn't get to, but it didn't look like anything interesting to say. I'm kidding. No, we didn't have time to go to you. Nick, what were you going to say?
I don't remember, but thank you for those cookies. They were delicious.
Yes.
And,
except for the one.
Yeah,
up until the tampon part.
Well, yeah. I made it successfully through 8 or 9 of them and then the 10th.
Yeah, you ate a pound and a half of cookies.
I think it's okay to share with someone if you found something in the food and go, look, hey, I just want to let you know.
You wouldn't want them to have encounter something, especially if it's broken glass or something, or, you know,
exactly.
Or your brownies are made of balsa wood.
All right, we will take a break. We'll come back in a second. A little bit later on this morning, Tom Cotter's going to be on the program appearing at Helium Comedy Club, and we're expecting our friends from Star Restaurants to be here
this
morning.
Just got a text. They are on their way, Preston. They should be here momentarily.
Well, you know what? Then let's give away a $50 gift card.
Yes.
Courtesy of Star Restaurants.
Wonderful.
And you can say happy holidays with that gift card from your favorite Star Restaurants. Redeemable at 37 Star locations. It's a gift that everyone can enjoy. I will take caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will give that to you. Coming back with a Bizarre File. Stay with us.
December 12th, come celebrate WMMR's opening night at the Met, starring Weezer. Join us at Philly's brand new state-of-the-art concert venue on North Broad and experience the utmost in sightlines and sound. Pierre broadcasts his show live on site, bringing you all the grandeur and excitement as MMR welcomes Weezer to Philly. Details at themetphilly.com for MMR's opening night at the Met with Weezer.
Thanks, Kathy. Daily Rush video of our Camp Out for Hunger Papa Shot Finals, the championship, the City 6 championship, took place, and we have the video now up on Daily Rush. So if you'd like to see the face-off and where Jay Wright returns and wins the championship once again, it is now available at PrestonandSteve.com.
I sent it to Helene, who was Jay's assistant yesterday. And by the way, yesterday, and I forgot to mention this, was Helene's birthday. So happy belated birthday.
Yes, Helene. She's wonderful.
She is wonderful. She couldn't make it to camp out this year because of something that was going on with her family. But we love her. We really appreciate all the help and support.
And Coach dedicated the win to her.
Yeah. And the celebration is so phenomenal.
It is so good. And it is, again, of all of them, and they've all been wonderful, this was the most nail-biting finale to a Papa Shot challenge ever.
And Mark Zumoff called a great competition.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah, so excellent. There's a nice slick edit one, and then if you have the time to watch all half hour of, you know, that's on there as well, I believe. Right, Nick Murphy? Yeah, okay, cool.
And you can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. Like I said, sponsored by Punchline, Philly Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. I would like to mention that Marissa has an appearance tonight, and not just an appearance where you can win some Eagles tickets and maybe some Eagles signed merchandise.
That's always cool.
She will be at South Bowl for the Bud Light Philly tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. It's in South Philadelphia, so do not miss your opportunity to win some goodies and hang one of the coolest people around, Marissa Magnata. So that is South Bowl tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning's Bizarre File is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. New handcrafted espresso drinks from Dunkin' are amazing. Sipping is believing. Get any medium latte or cappuccino for $2 from 2 to 6 p.m. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary, and it is a limited time offer. A Utah man has been charged with sexual assault and kidnapping after authorities say he hammered a tool resembling an ice pick through another man's penis during an argument.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
All right, so how is the penis out and hammerable?
Oh, I'll explain this. 45-year-old Jason D. Maughan is scheduled to make a court appearance in Salt Lake City. Documents show that Maughan is accused of putting a gun to the victim's head and handcuffing him to a chair.
Well,
Steve,
there you go.
Is right out of The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Oh, my God.
The victim told police that he was given a choice of being killed in the desert or having a nail driven into his penis.
Oh, my.
How about I eat a cookie with something in it that I don't know what it is?
He says he went to the hospital the next day for treatment after Maughan took the handcuffs off. Charging document describes the case as domestic violence and says the men lived together but does not explain their exact relationship. He is currently being held.
I'm guessing one was a submissive.
At the South Lake County Jail. Yeah.
That's horrible.
One was a psycho, that's for sure. A Florida couple's dream African getaway, Kathy, turned into a nightmare when a protective hippopotamus mother attacked their canoe, leaving the 37-year-old woman in critical condition.
Oh, wow, yeah. They can be nasty.
They are. I think they're the deadliest land animals, correct, Preston?
Yeah, they are, Steve, in Africa. Kristen and Ryan Yaldor decided to celebrate Kristen's birthday in South Africa and Zimbabwe and decided to take a canoe trip near Victoria Falls. As the couple paddled down the Zambezi River, their canoe unknowingly came close to a hippopotamus and her young calf. The mother hippo reacted by swimming under the canoe and flipping it, leaving Ryan and Kristen helpless in the water. Ryan was able to safely swim to a nearby island, but Kristen was dragged underwater as the hippo chomped on her leg and broke her femur.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
She is amazingly lucky.
Well, she's still in critical condition. Yeah. They said they had these incisors, you know, went into her leg.
Oh, my God.
Had it hit her femoral artery, she would have been dead.
Because they usually they just kill you flat out.
Yeah, she was able to escape, but had to wait an hour for medical help. She was finally brought to a hospital in South Africa 13 hours later, so she's in bad shape.
But for the brief period of time when I was looking to go to South Africa, that Victoria Falls was one of the locations I wanted to go to. It's supposed to be beautiful. And the girl that, the singer, I forget her name, I think, is it Kim, who did the Jackie Bam Bam song? And
Kim Graff.
Yeah, she was supposed to go there on her honeymoon. I'm not sure if she went or not, but she was supposed to go to that Victoria Falls.
Well,
yeah.
There's footage, and it'll scare the crap out of you. We're looking at it right now of a hippo, a pissed off hippo.
Oh, my God.
Trailing a boat.
Yeah, a motorboat.
They're huge.
They look so cute, though.
Right?
When you see the enormity of that maw.
Yeah. I mean, they can eat you alive. It's crazy.
And
remember
that picture from years ago of Marissa next to the hippo at the Adventure Aquarium?
Yes.
The mouth is so huge.
It's massive.
Marissa is not the hippo.
Yes.
She can put her fist in her mouth.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Yeah,
that's why around noon every day we feed Marissa some bok choy.
Yeah.
No, with all her the problems she's having with the surgery and all that.
Oh my God.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
So anyhow, we'll monitor this and see how this woman pulls out of it. Picking the perfect first date activity can be tricky. You want to do something fun, which is going to allow you to get to know the person, but something that won't be too awkward if you don't hit it off. So when one woman's Tinder date said that he had a surprise planned for their first meeting, she was very excited. When he told her to wear a black dress, she thought, this is a romantic treat. But it actually turned into be his grandmother's funeral.
He needed a date for his grandmother's funeral?
Yeah, they were gonna chuck bum-bum in the gum-gum in the clay, and he needed a date. He didn't tell her where they were going until they pulled up at the crematorium, and she felt that it was then too late to leave.
This must be an escape room.
So instead, she sat through the entire service and held his hand when he got upset.
All right, when are they going to come out and say surprise?
The mortified woman shared the story with a friend who then shared screen grabs of the bizarre conversation on social media.
So people obviously are coming up. How did he answer, and who's this, you know?
Even though she wanted to leave, the woman felt that she would look bad if she did so and stayed for the service. But she didn't make it to the wake. She demanded the man take her home as soon as they left the crematorium.
Oh, my God.
Didn't go very well. A woman shot her adult son Monday afternoon after he pulled out a samurai sword during an argument. The mother and her 21-year-old son were fighting. They were arguing over something. So she shot him in the leg after he pulled out a samurai sword during the argument.
What did I tell you about your sword?
Yeah. The son was taken with minor injuries to the hospital. The mother, who has not been identified, will probably not face charges. She was defending herself.
She was being
herself.
Attacked.
Yeah.
But in most families, isn't it the mother that has the samurai sword?
It's usually the other way around, yes. The shooting occurred across the street from a middle school. It's not clear if students were placed on lockdown and police were notified. We're not notified of one.
We have a samurai sword.
We do. We have a couple of them,
yeah.
And we'll do one more story, and let's go with this one. Two dozen workers at an Amazon fulfillment center in New Jersey were taken to hospitals Wednesday after a machine punctured an aerosol canister of bear repellent, causing it to discharge toxic fumes inside the building.
And here's the best part. I was the one that placed the order.
Employees reported experiencing difficulty breathing and burning sensation in their eyes and throat. Emergency personnel responded to a morning 911 call that 54 workers at the fulfillment center were experiencing symptoms. So a lot of people got sick. 24 of them were taken to a local hospital, including one in critical condition.
Wow. So the potency of, you have to assume that that's like pepper spray times 100.
Yeah, it's got to be terrifying for people who don't really know what's going on away. In fact, there was a tweet alert from like Fox 29 News, and you know Kevin Reardon, lockdown he works at an Amazon in New Jersey. So
does he? All right.
So I texted him. I go, "Yo, dude, what's going on?" Because there was no real. I mean, obviously we know what happened now, but you know, earlier on in the situation, we didn't know.
A recently fired bear showed up.
Bear repellent spray is similar to a can of pepper spray, and it is intended to deter an aggressive or charging bear. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service recommends bear repellent spray as both safer and more effective than a firearm. In fending off bear attacks, by the way. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you at this juncture. I would like to give away some gift cards from our friends at Star Restaurants who are here. You can say happy holidays with a Star gift card. I have $50 gift cards. Let's do one. I'll take caller number 11 at 215-263-WMMR. They're the perfect gift. Fabulous cuisine from 37 restaurants, and there's something for everyone. Everyone is a star, and they don't expire, and they're easy to get with a special promotion that's going on now. So let's get you on board and set you up with that. So caller number 11, 215-263-WMMR. Let's take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Please stay with us.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at presidentsteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Our friends from Continental, Elvez, and Midtown are here. All Steven Star restaurants. I'll do some more giveaways in a little while with some of the gift cards that they have. And if you do want to order them, visit StarGiftCards.com. Now, Star is spelled with two R's. StarGiftCards.com. Or visit any restaurant location to purchase gift cards that are redeemable at any of the 37 Star locations, and they never expire.
May I recommend something?
Yeah.
You know, you always say, oh, God, I don't have something for this person. Just buy a couple now. Get a couple of gift cards. Have them at the ready.
Yeah.
Who's gonna be upset that they have a Steven Star gift card?
Most
and
definitely.
Just do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if you don't have somebody in mind immediately, chances are you will find someone, and if not, you go use it yourself.
Yes.
Later on, if you don't end up giving it to somebody. Listen, apologies. I have, I've got like this head cold thing going on. I got like a runny nose. I sound a little bit nasally. And I can't take anything to fix the problem because.
And is this an announcement? Are you pregnant?
No, I'm not. Not expecting.
Oh.
I started feeling this way a couple of days ago, but in preparation for a doctor's appointment, I couldn't take specific medication, so I just pretty much stayed away from all of them just in case. But I do have an announcement to make.
Drum roll?
Okay. After many, many years of my life, I am no longer allergic to penicillin.
Yay!
Ladies and gentlemen, Preston Elliott is no longer allergic to penicillin.
Whoa, so I'm allergic to penicillin. Does that mean maybe there's a chance for me to not be allergic anymore? Or?
There's a very good chance that you're not allergic to penicillin.
Really?
Is what I found out yesterday, and I'll explain in a moment. Yes.
So I find it amazing that you can grow out of allergies. To me, I don't quite understand that. But how severe was your allergic reaction when you would take penicillin?
Just hives. You know, nothing that would put me into anaphylactic shock or something like that. But the moment that I started having reaction symptoms, they said no more.
Okay.
You know, it's not worth the risk.
Right.
So I never got to a level where it was so anytime for years and years and years filling out those, you know, you go to a new doctor's office. What are your allergies? Penicillin was always on.
How did you deal with syphilis?
I just dealt with it.
Was it just the hives or did it make you sick in
some way? No, just hives.
Okay.
It was itch and hives and itchy and after I told my doctor that, they were like, well, don't ever take it.
They don't want to take the risk, right?
Yeah. And so I'll tell you what led me up to getting tested.
Were you allergic to Advil as well or ibuprofen?
That's the other thing. So I found out several years ago, maybe, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago, that ibuprofen, when I would take it, I would also get itchy and have hives. I mean, like very obvious hives, splotches all over your body. And so I told my doctor, this is pre-Dr. Mike, about it. And he's like, well, can't take it anymore. And it's like, man. And oh, by the way, you can't take aspirin either if you're allergic to ibuprofen.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I don't love you anymore.
And I hate you. So that was a bit of an inconvenience, but not a big deal. You know, I'll just if I have a headache, I'll take Tylenol or whatever right. it may be or something. So I could take acetaminophen.
Okay. Yeah, it seemed to be a big deal though, because you were at least around here, there'd be times where you'd be in pain.
Well, and here's the deal. So yeah. now I've fast forward several years, and now the past, I don't know, 2-3 years, whatever, I've started to have back pain. It hurts all the time.
Yeah.
And always recommended anti-inflammatories. Mm. If it's not going to be the cure-all, but it is a pain relief. And things like Tylenol, acetaminophen, really don't help what needs to be done, which is the inflammation to calm down. Ibuprofen is what you need to take. You need to take anti-inflammatories. Well, I'm allergic to them. Well, I'm sorry, you're out of luck. And that was pretty much it. So I went to Dr. Mike. I'm like, is it possible that maybe I have grown out of this allergy of ibuprofen? Can I go get it checked out? And so he's like, all right, well, I don't know. Let's go find out. So he sent me to this Dr. Phillips, who I went to see yesterday. And I went to him a little while back, and he said, what are all your allergies? So I gave him that. It was penicillin and ibuprofen. And he goes, all right, well, we're going to test you for those. So the first one they want to do is penicillin. So we did that yesterday, and I went through this testing. Very, very simple. They prick your skin. They put these little droplets on there, prick your skin. If that doesn't cause a reaction, then they inject a little bit into your arm. You wait a little while if there's no problem there.
How long do they give you?
It was
it would be normally immediate, right?
15 minutes
right.
for the skin things. And then they gave me a small dosage orally. You wait a half hour and no reaction. And then they give you a big dosage and you wait an hour. No reaction. Guess what? I'm not allergic
Yay!
To penicillin.
Wow.
But the great. Main one that I really want to find out is about ibuprofen. So I'm seeing another doctor today. I'm going to go to talk to him. I don't know if we're going to be testing for it, if I'm just sitting down for a consultation or not. But the same thing would happen when I would take ibuprofen, those itchy hives. And it sucks because you can't take, when you're drinking, you can't take acetaminophen. It's bad for your liver. It makes it
yep.
even
oh, that's
worse.
Right.
So you can OD on that stuff and die. We know someone who did.
We do, yes. It was Tylenol, right?
Tylenol overdose and passed away from it, committed suicide from it. So it can, take it improperly. Well, pretty much anything can. But anyhow, so what Dr. Phillips was telling me is, it's not just the anti-inflammatory sometimes. It's a specific brand. They might use a coating on the outside of the tablet
that's causing the issue.
Reacting to
wow!
It. So I'm going to go get that checked out today. But I Casey, what I found out from Dr. Phillips yesterday is he said, and I think he used the term. He said 90-95% of the cases of people who have been allergic to penicillin when they were kids grow out of it.
That is great news because I found out the same way you did, and it was funny because I had a sore throat or strep throat, and my mom just gave me leftover penicillin from when my sister had it.
How old were you?
12 years old,
okay.
Something like that, and I had developed hives.
Look what I found in the garage.
Overnight, and I was scared because at the time there was like a measles outbreak. This was like the late 80s, and I was like, oh my gosh, I got the measles. And then I woke up in the morning covered in hives. It was so bad that my bottom lip had split.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Case, did a doctor determine that you were allergic to penicillin?
No, this is just what I gathered from this.
Okay, because the reason why I ask is because a friend of mine took amoxicillin,
yep.
And it was same like you. It was an old prescription of his sister's, and it was actually expired.
What I'm saying is that's
what happened to him. He wasn't. It was an expired medication that caused that. He wasn't allergic to it, and he had a very similar reaction. He had to go to the hospital. He started having trouble breathing.
Yeah, you can't take expired medication.
Yeah.
By the way, the bad phone's ringing. I wonder who that is.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the deal, Preston. Now, so he's giving you the go-ahead for penicillin?
Yeah.
All right, excellent.
In fact, in the Penn Medicine system, he took it out of there.
In fact, I'm drinking it right now.
I'm drinking some nice, tall cup of penicillin this
morning. Put a head on this penicillin.
But I have friends whose daughters were, for the longest time, very, very allergic to things like certain animal hair, pet hair, and stuff like that. And they went through like a 5-year, I think it was that long, maybe it was 3 years, process of slowly introducing that to them in a safe way, in a clinical way.
Building up tolerance to it,
and they're no longer allergic to those things.
Well, this is a protocol, or at least a procedure that they're doing with the peanut allergies.
Yes.
And they're having success with introducing
peanuts systematically into a child's environment and can help reverse that.
Yeah, my daughter's friend has overcome her peanut allergy.
Is that great?
And she's only like 12 or 13 years old now, or, you know, almost about to be 13. So
we're living in a peanut world.
Yeah.
And I am a peanut girl.
I wonder if penicillin has any history in Pennsylvania. I don't know if that's where they come up with the name.
If the name comes from
my
that.
My dearest wife just named a new medication penicillin for Pennsylvania. Thank God I didn't discover this in Wyoming.
I think there's only one N in penicillin. So
or else it would have been Wyoming.
I spell it wrong every time. I have to write it down on like
I do too.
I'm like, you know what I'm trying to say.
By the way, this text says, you guys serious about Tylenol and alcohol? When I go home from drinking at night, I pop 2 Tylenol to prevent a hangover. Yes, stop doing that.
Check your liver, dude.
Right now. Check stop doing liver. That. Read the label, Kathy.
That peanut and dairy allergies for kids can be very severe. And like you said, some of them outgrow it and they're trying to introduce it back in. My friend's son, they were trying to introduce dairy back in, and they said, we think he's okay. They did some sort of testing and all of that. Well, sure enough, he had French toast that was, you know, cooked with egg at a restaurant, and he went into the anaphylactic shock, and they had to rush him to the hospital. Yeah.
Well, obviously, that has to be done under the strictest medical.
And she was like, you know what?
Yeah.
She was like, forget it. She goes, we've lived with it without dairy for so long in his life. I'm not doing it. Maybe he'll grow out of it, but I don't care. We're not eating it.
All right. Cue the music, Casey. All right. He's on the line, of course, you would expect. This is our good friend, our personal doctor, all of us, by the way, from Penn Medicine and Fox 29, Dr. Mike Cirigliano.
Yay!
Hey, Dr. Mike.
Oh, my God. Where do I start?
Yeah.
So, number one, Casey, do not ever take somebody else's medications. Just don't do it. Just call if you need an antibiotic. You never, 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 never should take somebody else's antibiotic. And secondly, whoever was given the antibiotic, why didn't they finish it? There's a lot of issues
there. They always tell you to finish your antibiotic so that when you think you're past whatever you have, you're wrong. You got to complete the cycle, right?
Well, right, because it can add to antibiotic overuse and bacterial resistance. It's a big problem.
All right.
And so that's not good. That's issue number one. Issue number two, the penicillin was first introduced and found from a mold, penicillium mold. So Pennsylvania University of Penn, Pennsylvania had nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
all right?
I'm reading that now.
All right. So next.
Yeah.
Next. My son Nicholas has an allergy to peanuts. And basically when it comes to peanuts, the theory is that no one in early life, we always used to tell people not to get exposure to penicillin, not penicillin, to peanuts, because of the concern about allergies. Well, what that has done is it has led to problems with people not having exposure, and now there is rampant peanut allergies all over the place. So
that arose as a byproduct of being overly cautious?
Yes. And we think it's the concept, if you don't use it, you'll lose it.
Wow.
And so if you live in a sterile environment, if you think of it this way, and you don't have exposure early on, you're going to have problems. And so the American Academy of Pediatrics and a lot of big organizations have now recommended that kids get exposure to peanuts. Now, you have to be very careful, because my son, we were at a restaurant, and he had a peanut dessert and developed hives. And so, as Kathy said, it can be extremely serious, and you can die from it. And so you have to, one, if you know that your kid has a peanut allergy or you have it, you must have EpiPens around you. And it's really worthwhile to check with an allergist to see about getting exposure therapy,
so,
because that's the rage right now.
Quick question, Dr. Mike, concerning that. So if you are someone who's having a child and you want to try to make sure they are not allergic to peanuts, do you consult with a doctor and start a regimen to try to build up resistance? Or in other words, how do you go about trying to avoid a peanut allergy?
We used to tell kids, and I'm not a pediatrician. I can't remember the exact time frame. But what we used to do was to have parents avoid peanut exposure to their kids, and that's changing. I don't recall now if it's a year, 6 months. I can't remember the details of that. But
so you need to check with your pediatrician.
Pediatrician, but we're getting away from the avoidance concept because that has, we think, led to more and more people having peanut allergies. It's the concept if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And if you don't have your immune system respond to things like peanuts, you're going to later on have a problem. And then the last thing is allergies to things like penicillin. Now, we have so many different classes of antibiotics that there are occasions when a penicillin-type drug is critical to a patient's care, and I will send them to an allergist for, one, testing, and then, two, there are ways to get around that. But rarely do we have to do that. We have so many other options.
All right.
Right. Kathy, a lot of people are texting in saying that eggs aren't dairy. What was that?
So my friend's son is actually allergic to eggs and dairy.
Oh, eggs
I think
dairy.
Of that.
Okay.
I may have just said dairy. Gotcha. But that was part of my question to you, Dr. Mike. So I have one friend. She has three kids. Three of her kids are allergic to something, and it's different. One is the eggs and dairy. One is the peanuts. And I forget what her third child is allergic to. But it just seems bizarre that it's one family. Like, I don't know that... I don't know. I think it has to somewhat do with the mother, no?
Is it bad parenting?
No, not bad parenting. Uh-oh.
No, I think they ate cookies with rat parts.
That must be it. Rat-ass cookies are always the culprit.
Yeah. My wife Elizabeth has no peanut allergy. Yeah. I don't have a peanut. I've eaten peanuts my whole life. It's one of those things where it kind of happens. When you take genetic material from two people, you put it together, it's a crapshoot. And so you don't know. I don't think that it had anything to do with parenting unless...
No, we were joking about that.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Well, no, in reference to avoiding everything. Well, no, my kid's not going to be exposed to peanuts. They're not going to eat eggs. They're not going to do anything. I don't think that's the case.
I'll let my friend know she's a bad parent.
Look, she's a wonderful
kid. Yes.
But you shouldn't have kids. With me now realizing that I'm not allergic to penicillin, it does make it a little bit easier for you. Because I know in the past when I have been sick and you're like, okay, allergic. Okay, what are we going to try here? Blah, 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 blah. Now it's a little bit your options. There are more options to treat me since that allergy's gone, correct?
Oh, sure, for sure. And there's been some concerns about certain types of antibiotics like fluoroquinolones, like Levaquin and Cipro, because they have some issues with tendons and tendon tears. And so it makes it easier for a healthcare provider to say, look, we don't have to worry about the quinolone-type drugs. We're going to go with penicillin.
Do you recommend that people, if they've had an allergy for a long time, go and get checked just to see if that is indeed still the case?
I think if there's any question, why not?
Yeah.
If you have the inclination, we have other options, but if it's a problem for you and you are allergic to penicillin or you think you are, I carry an allergy to penicillin. I've never taken it since I was about 10.
Huh.
And I do remember, as psychotic as my brain is, that I had hives when I took a penicillin when I was a young man.
Dr. Phillips told me yesterday that like 90 to 95% of people who have that as a kid don't when they are adults.
Right. Okay. Isn't he a great guy?
Yeah, he's a great guy. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Dr. Mike Preston brought up something earlier that I wasn't aware of, that sometimes with ibuprofen products, the coating on it is manufactured differently from different brand names, and that can affect how your body reacts to ibuprofen. That's interesting.
It is interesting. I've had patients who did fine on a brand name, and I'm not saying generics are bad, but the composition of it is different.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a filler. Sometimes it's a coating that can be different, and someone can have an allergy to it. The patient that comes to mind had been on Prilosec brand name for many, many, many years, and then we got switched to generic Omeprazole, which is Prilosec, only generic, and had a problem.
Well, they use a coating made out of pureed rat ass, so that's
not good.
That's an issue, yeah.
It's very individualized, and that's where, you know, the art of doctoring, of being a healthcare provider comes in. And you just have to have someone that kind of, when it comes to medications, you always have to worry, is it going to interact with another medication or a natural product that someone's taking, or are they allergic to it? Because you can get life-threatening allergies.
So quick question, Dr. Mike, what do you think the odds are that Preston will find that he is now able to take ibuprofen?
I would do that under a very supervised situation, and that's why I sent him to Dr. Phillips.
All right. Yeah, actually, and Dr. Phillips is sending me to Dr. Basso today. He said he's more...
And then Basso's going to recommend Dr. Mike.
Right, exactly. See you in a few.
Yeah, I mean, non-steroidals, in their defense, are used for minor aches and pains. The problem is if you take too much of it, you can bleed. You can have stomach bleeding and ulceration and all of that.
All right.
Now, you mentioned Tylenol. I just want to say this because the holidays are coming. Mm-hmm. You never, ever, ever, ever take acetaminophen, which is the brand, one of the brands is Tylenol, but acetaminophen with alcohol.
Okay.
You can have an idiosyncratic reaction. You can get liver failure, and it's a big deal. So never use that.
Yes. As Preston pointed out earlier, we do know someone who committed suicide by overdosing on Tylenol.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that. There are treatments for it, but that's a bad one. Don't do it.
All right, Dr. Mike, always great. Thanks for checking in. Thanks for coming to the Camp Out for Hunger, too, man.
Well, my testicles are now just getting unfrozen.
That was so much fun.
It was a great time.
I had a great time with you on the Can Drop, Mike. That was awesome.
We love you.
Great. I love it. Listen, G-Force and my buddy Nick, what else can you ask?
There you go. You were maverick.
All right. I love you guys.
Love you, Dr. Mike.
So, Press, you can also, because I definitely have seasonal allergies, but I don't know what I'm actually allergic to. I don't think
the
it's seasons, pollen.
Just themselves.
No, I don't think it's pollen, and I think it might be mold spores. Can I go to this guy to figure out if I'm
absolutely
what I'm actually allergic to?
An allergy and immunologist, and I had that's where they take these a series of needles, and trust me, they're not sticking them deep into your skin.
I've had it done.
You met him at a cookie swap party.
They do it on your back. They just did you have it done on your back?
I did not. I had it done on my arm, and then we watched them, and then they circled what I was allergic to. And Casey, mold was the biggest one that I was allergic to. It actually came back. It went away, came back the next day, went away, and came back 3 days later from the little spot that they had injected.
I think it might be mold spores because I think those tend to show up before pollen. And so my allergies will kick in before everybody else's do. So that's pollen. So
don't they say that in general your body goes through a change every 7 years?
Like maybe.
There's a normal cycle where things, you may develop allergies and allergies may go away.
Steve, I think I've told you guys this story before, but my dad was not allergic to horses as a kid, and then he went out on this trip with a bunch of friends. They went horseback riding in the desert outside of Palm Springs, and his face got really swollen. He couldn't see out of his eyes, and then he had developed an allergy to horses that he did not have as a child.
That's weird. Now, during a full moon, he turns into a horse.
Dude, Parker has a severe allergy to horses.
Really?
No kidding.
Yes. So is my dad.
And so now he hates them. He hates the animal. Imagine horses, and he'll go,
how common is that?
It's weird that you say that, because that was another one that came up on my arm as well. And I didn't even, why would you test for horses?
The last time we were around a horse, and it was a thoroughbred in Lexington. We went on this tour, this horse had won the Breeders' Cup. I mean, it's like a $5 million horse. We're here petting this horse, and like a half hour later, he's got this gigantic inflamed area across his neck and his face, and it's a bad reaction.
You heard about the cowboy that died riding a horse named Peanut?
No, that's terrible news. That's a tragedy, man.
It's a tragedy,
I'd like to see if I'm still allergic to penicillin, if I'm still allergic to Provasic.
Provasic, it's bad.
It's a bad one.
Provasic.
Not the running man, from the Fugitive.
Fugitive, Devlin McGregor. Yes. Hey, that company's a monster.
Kathy, what about your nightshades? Are you still have that allergy, or you just don't take them?
Nightshades. I can still actually, it was Harvest brought in. They always bring in stuff with squash and zucchini and
eggplant.
That. And this was a couple of months ago, but I had one of their salads that had.
This one goes out to all the people with nightshade allergies.
That had zucchini in it, and I immediately felt it.
We had a friend that we hadn't seen in a long time, and she was a little too tall.
Could have used some veggies. Got the test. Her arm was covered with dots. She was a flaxen-haired beauty who often did the traffic. With points of her own, sitting way up high, and they had little animal leopard eyes on them.
Flaxen-haired beauty. She's working with her nightshades. But anyhow, we hadn't seen her in a long time, and we went out to dinner, and she breaks out this little Tupperware container of just some greens.
Yeah.
And we were at Cooper's. Steve was like, we're going to have great food. She's like, can I just have some vinegar or something like that? And we got to talking. She's extremely allergic to a lot of food. Yeah. It just makes her feel miserable, Kathy. Reminded exactly the same as you. Yeah. Body aches and pains.
My heart goes out to you.
And it turns out that nightshades and a few other things, certain dairy products as well. But it can be... Yeah. Makes it awkward, difficult.
So virtually everything you do around the holidays is centered around foods and things of that nature. And it can be a little...
And we just...
I'm sure it's daunting.
We will just casually eat. You know, I'll try some of that, this and that. And you have to sit there and go, I don't know if I can have that.
Oh, your special food's really good. I'm sorry I finished it off.
Yeah.
What did you do?
My friend who has the kids that have all kinds of allergies, whenever they go anywhere, she has Tupperware. They went to Great Wolf Lodge, one of the indoor parks, and she said... She has to watch how long they go away because it's based on the food that she can pack. So she had to pack for 2 days for 3 of her kids that have allergies and can't eat out at restaurants.
That is a lot of work.
She said, they come with a microwave. So in case the hotel room doesn't have one or they don't have access to one, they bring a microwave with them.
Seriously?
Yeah, they bring like a little mini microwave.
Wow. So there are people that are allergic to things and they have a reaction to it, but they will... They're like, it's worth
soldier
it.
Soldier on.
Yeah, so
I know pet owners will do that.
Well, my buddy is allergic to
something
in Jack Daniels, but he loves Jack Daniels.
Alcoholism?
It's funny because, I mean, you would see him at the bar and he would have these hives on his face. It's like, dude.
What are you doing?
You had Jack Daniels tonight. It's like, and you can't.
No, I didn't have Jack Daniels. What do you think I had Jack Daniels?
I mean, there's dozens of whiskeys that you can choose from.
I know, but...
Would you like Jack Daniels?
I like Jack Daniels!
And it is...
Can I hear you ordering a Jack and Coke, please?
I like a Jack Daniels and Coke. Coke.
Jack
and Coke.
Oh, Jack and Coke. I got you.
And then is it the wheat allergy? What is that called? Not celiac, or is it
gluten? Not gluten. Is it?
No, it might be gluten.
Now we know that people are very overreactionary to the gluten thing.
Because
you got to get diagnosed.
Yeah. Diagnosed.
You don't just say,
don't guess.
Oh, this gives me a stomach ache.
My tummy ache.
Yes. But anyway,
we're going to have to remove your stomach.
You need to get officially diagnosed.
Yeah, but I have a friend who it was either cookies or cupcakes. I'm fairly certain it was cupcakes. She's like, I'm going to pay the price for this, but I want this goddamn cupcake.
Well, there are people who have like, you know, with cats or any pet, the dander or whatever, who just soldier on and do the deal.
And what sucks about finding out this stuff sometimes, and Kathy, you had to do it. An elimination diet.
Yeah.
Elimination diets suck. You have to take all these things out of your regular eating pattern and stay away from them for a certain amount of time. And sometimes it's things that you like, that's your main sustenance, you know, and you got to go for like a week without eating it.
And it can get boring.
Do you know what it is? To me, I considered it's like the medical version of playing Battleship.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That makes total sense. Yeah. You're
shooting
blindly
blind.
Throwing stuff out there. Let me go to Chris real quick. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Now, I had you're talking about the horse allergy. Had one down in Rehoboth. There was a restaurant that had like a little corral out front with 2 or 3 horses in it.
Those are the best restaurants that have living horses on premises.
Exactly. But yeah, exactly. And like I said, it's not there anymore. But every time I pass the shop that's there, I always think about the horse that sent me to the hospital.
What happened
now? Basically, we were waiting, big line, outside petting horses. We go in, we're starting to eat. It's like my eyes started itching and watering.
Yep.
And the it looked like the pupil and the color part of my eye sunk back in my head. My eyes swelled.
Jesus
real
Christ.
Big.
That's
bizarre.
Yeah. My neck swelled. My face swelled. We went to the hospital down the beach, and basically they said, you're allergic to horses.
Chris, table for four. If you're done petting your horses, please come into the restaurant.
Right. And did it take more than one encounter, or is that the only time you had ever been around a horse?
No, that was the one time. I've been around horses before. I mean, not a lot.
I'm yeah. Not restaurant
but
horses.
But you never had a reaction, yeah. but enough times to think that
yeah,
you were okay.
Enough times, yeah. Right. And I don't know what happened. I mean, it could have been, too, whatever they put on the horses, like, to keep bugs
How they season the horses.
Yeah. No, I know yeah, what you're saying, Chris. My son had something similar, but not with the eyes. I appreciate it. Let me go real quick to Chris. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Good. What's
well,
up?
Oh, yeah, I had to have that test, too, done. My parents took me to a rodeo in the down in Philly. They basically had to rush me to the hospital because of my eyes shut, my throat shut, and here I was allergic to horses, like, really bad.
Wow.
And so then, they did that test that you were saying on the back with the serum, and they prick yep. you to see. Well, I was allergic to 67 things.
Oh, my God.
And I had to get shots for 10 years, all this thing. But my doctor told me every once in a while, eat or do whatever things you're allergic to so you can build up your immune system.
Can I ask you guys a question? When you hear about somebody who's, like super allergic to everything.
Thanks, Chris.
My immediate reaction, and this is a stupid one, I mean, you pussy.
Well, not that exact thing.
Can
but,
I guess what yours is?
But people can. What?
Yeah,
they're getting they're probably not that allergic to that many things.
Yeah, maybe a hypochondriac.
Hypochondriacal, yes, or something absolutely. Like that. And I know that's probably wrong because I think we've heard so many cases where people have labored under the misconception that they are and they are not.
It is wrong, and especially you know the peanut thing because they're so peanuts are so ubiquitous. Peanut yeah. butter, all this is in so many different things. And then when all of a sudden they have like a you know a peanut free table at or you can't bring peanut stuff to school, it's the pussification of America.
Right.
What the hell is this? But they don't realize that some people can actually
die.
It's
die.
Quite literally. Poison for their body.
Well, two things with that.
Right.
Two things with that. It's wrong to do it because people who suffer from migraines, my wife suffered from migraines, yeah. and people are like, well, that's just a headache. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then B, when you have when you'll have a general table or a buffet set out where there's stuff that's dietarily specific, the people who don't have to deal with that always end up eating all that because they think it's healthier. You know, it's like,
right.
No. The vegan chili was for the vegans. You yeah. know, it's always that case.
One more call, and I know we got a break, but this sounds interesting from Emily here. We're getting a lot of calls. I apologize if we can't go to them. Hi, Emily. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Emily, this sounds pretty severe, your allergy.
Yeah, so I got allergy shots when I was about 10 years old. I got the prick test, and they said, you're basically allergic to everything outside, grass, ragweed, birch trees, so soccer games are not fun for me.
Yep.
And I got the allergy shots, and everything was fine my whole life, pretty much. And then I recently started a snack bite company, and we produce snack bites made out of nut butters and honey, so I'm exposed to it, like, every single day. And then I started developing this crazy, like, rash around my, like, face and my neck and my mouth, and I could not figure out what it was. So I was like, great, I think I'm allergic to, you know, dust again or something. And I went to my doctor and I got prick tests again. And she basically said, you have oral allergy syndrome. So not only kind of like if you don't, like, my allergy shot started fading off. And now anything that is associated with, like, ragweed and birch trees, I'm allergic to. And when you see the list, it's like almonds, peanuts, like parsnips, cumin, parsley, cucumbers, every type of melon.
Oh my gosh.
You're allergic to all of that?
Everything. And basically what you said with the elimination diet, my allergist was like, oh, you know, you have to do this elimination diet to see what you're allergic to. And I'm like, what am I going to be able to actually eat, though? Like,
yeah.
Well, hang on, Emily, what vegetables can you eat? Is there anything?
I can eat lettuce.
Okay.
Boring.
It was like, that's pretty much it. Like, I'm allergic to tomatoes.
What about arugula?
It's a vegetable.
I don't think I'm allergic to, like, I mean, I have to get very creative with what I eat. But I'm allergic to, like, cucumbers, tomatoes, everything you'd, like, put in a salad, I'm allergic to.
All the good stuff that goes in the salad, the things that you pick out of the lettuce to eat, you can't eat.
Son of a bitch.
I'm probably allergic to that, but I just haven't accepted it. But I have to start allergy shots again as a 26-year-old. So.
All right. Well, good luck with that, because honestly, leafy greens are, you need them.
You do need them. They're very, very healthy for you, but they're boring. Mm-hmm. They're very, very boring.
You know, I've become a fan of leafy greens.
I eat them every day.
I like my arugula. Yeah. I like my spinach.
Arugula's.
And I love, what's the other super?
Kale?
Kale.
Kale.
Mm. Eh. Mm. Kale, the smaller leafed version of kale in a salad.
Yeah, just when the kale gets to, like, the stem part, that's
yes,
when
it becomes shrapnel-y.
Yeah, you can. I would make kale chips in the oven, which is really, really tasty. So
kale chips in the oven, picking out dough.
Yep. Bing, ding, 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 ding. That was me on the banjo. All right. Anyhow, I found it interesting that after all these years, I am no longer allergic to penicillin, and I will find out in the next few days or weeks, depending on what my...
But I'm starting to feel some changes.
I will find out what my next doctor appointment reveals. Is ibuprofen is what I want to be able to take.
The sunrise a little brighter today, knowing that you can take penicillin?
Oh, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to be honest. My drive home was nice from the doctor. I'm like, finally, a positive thing that came out of a
from
doctor.
From a doctor. Yeah.
Usually it's the other way around. All right, but anyhow, let's take a break, and we'll come back in a moment. We're going to have comedian Tom Cotter in our studio. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club. Before we do that, Case, what should I give away?
You know what? Let's do. We have so many of those.
Christmas Miracle. Oh, yeah. Live broadcast Thursday, December 20th. Now, before you call in, keep in mind you have to be free that entire morning, December 20th. It's a Thursday, and you also have to be at least 21 years of age, and you better know the Preston and Steve Show, because otherwise you're not going to win.
We're not kidding.
It's a trivia-based contest that we do, and we'll draw people out of the audience to be part of Contestants Row. We're inviting roughly 500 people to come out for this one, so it's a bigger pool to choose from. Let's take Case. How many should I do?
Let's do five.
All right, five. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We'll see if we can get you on board. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind. If you get them a gift card from Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa, and there's a special offer, you can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring Collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free. All at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Our next guest is the first ever comedian to reach the finals of America's Got Talent. How about that?
That's pretty awesome.
First time we've had a chance to have him in our studio. We are going to remind you he's appearing at Helium Comedy Club this week. And Tom Cotter is here.
Thanks for having me.
How are you, Tom?
I'm well.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
You
were very kind. I did come in second on America's Got Talent, but I lost to a dog act.
That's what we heard. Yeah. I, to be honest, I've been in and out of America's Got Talent over the years, and sometimes I say, gee, this is really entertaining, and sometimes I say, gee, this is really not entertaining. But I like that they do give comedians a shot, because they tend to favor more Vegas-y type acts, right? Hence the dog act.
Yes.
And so were they, do you feel as a performer and a veteran performer that this was an especially wonderful dog act?
They were, you know, people think I hate dogs now. Not true.
Right, right.
We have a lab. It's a meth lab, but we guard it with pit bulls. And they're adorable.
It's still a lab. With
pit bulls. But I am a little bitter, and I'll get over it one day. They were a good act. They were a circus act, literally a circus act. Yeah. And so they, and America loved it. And my year, it was Sharon Osbourne, Howard Stern, and Howie Mandel were my judges. And Sharon
and
loved.
Howard liked you, right?
Howard liked me, yeah. And Howie was on my side. But Sharon really liked the dogs. And
oh,
the dogs
damn her. Well,
I was the top human finisher that year.
That's cool. Yeah.
America's Got Talent, it obviously exposes you to a huge audience, you know, and it's national TV. But do they ever ask you to curb certain jokes or not tell ones? And if so, were there jokes that you wanted to tell that you weren't allowed to?
Yes, but not a lot. I mean, they were pretty cool with me. It was the first year of Stern, so they wanted to be a little edgier. Mm. So they said they would not pull the reins too much. But, yeah, they had issues with a couple of jokes that I had to get rid of.
They always end up favoring, like, again, there's nothing wrong with that because I think the end prize is a Las Vegas contract, right?
It's all BS. It's,
yeah, is it?
Well, you know, they say it's $1 million. It's actually an annuity, like a lottery payment. So it's 25 grand a year for 40 years, I think is what
that's
it comes
bogus.
Out to. And no one ever takes the annuity. They always take the payout, which right. is like 370 grand. And after taxes, it's less than a quarter of a million.
How come
do I sound
never
bitter? Because no. I lost to a dog act, but that's the fact. And then
well, thank you for telling, because I don't think I've ever heard that. We're yeah. hip to a lot of these things.
And the rest of us get nothing, bupkis, because we are contestants in a game show. It's technically a game show.
Yeah.
Wow. And that show makes bank.
It does. It makes. It has no overhead. It has no freaking overhead.
Yeah. Except
for the salaries. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when your talent literally are just, you know, people off of the streets, there's not going to be a mutiny. You know, there's no union there going, you know what? This isn't fair.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what you're signing up for.
Yeah.
And the contract is voluminous, and they own you for a while afterwards.
So,
but you know, you sleep with the devil. That's it.
With that said, are you recognized often from the show?
Yeah, it was the best thing I've ever done.
Okay.
Comics don't get a chance to do primetime network television. We do the late night thing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know,
which you've done a fair amount
of. Yeah, but that's 5 million people, which it sounds like a lot, but Nielsen ratings, it's not. It's a fraction of what you get. Primetime is a beast. And our worst rating, I think, was 20 million.
It's crazy.
So,
wow.
And that,
it's just
you know,
crazy.
That was for a rerun. So when the live show comes out, it's just crazy, the numbers, and it puts a lot of butts in seats and helps you out.
So when you've done the late night shows, you've made the rounds, you did it with Leno, I guess, when I was hosting the Tonight Show, right? And so when you do that, You know, so the night before you're working the club circuit and doing well, and then you do that. Is it an instantaneous you're out on the street, or is it start to happen systematically?
To be. When it was Carson and he would summon you over to the couch,
right.
Then you were anointed. Then
yes.
your phone rang off the hook and you were a star. But now it's so watered down. There's Conan and Kimmel and Fallon and Colbert and there's a million of them now. And so it's so watered down now that it gives you a little bump, but not what you used to, you know, get when Carson summoned you to the couch. When he waved at you, you were a star. But when he summoned you to the couch, your ticket was written and you were,
you're right. There was a night that Freddie Prinze was anointed and became an overnight superstar and got a series the next day.
Yeah.
Got Chico and the Man the next day.
That's
just crazy.
Used to happen. Yeah. Roseanne, when she did hers. All of a sudden, overnight success.
Where are you from, Tom?
My mother's uterus.
Very good.
Nice. And where was that uterus when you came out?
It was in Providence, Rhode Island.
So you started your early days in comedy were mostly Boston, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're in Rhode Island, you either go an hour north to Boston or 3 hours south to New York. And I eventually ended up in New York, but I did my training, if you will, in Boston.
Who were you? Because there's many a great documentary about the Boston comedy scene in the heyday.
When stand up stood out.
Yeah, it's
great.
Phenomenal.
It really is.
Who were your contemporaries when you were coming up through Boston?
I actually started around the same time as before me was Leary. After me was about my time was Marc Maron. Came out of a lot of guys went to college in Boston.
Yeah.
So they're not from Boston, but that's where they started doing comedy. So then after me was Bill Burr and Dane Cook and Joe Rogan was around my time. But Leno and Stephen Wright had already blazed the trail for a lot of us. It's a great comedy town, and always thought it was the best, and then someone rattled off the Long Island guys and humbled me. That's the
So method. That's what I was doing. So I did comedy for a while, for about 10 years, and I came, at that time, Rosie had just broken big.
Yeah.
You had Bob Nelson,
Sandler.
Sandler.
Yeah. Seinfeld.
Seinfeld and Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. It goes on and on. And just lately, Ray Romano and Kevin James have the two biggest syndication deals ever.
Yeah.
Those two guys are from there. Someone just humiliated me by rattling them off. It is scary how many guys came out of Long Island. Not Manhattan, mind you.
Judd Apatow as well. Judd Apatow from Syosset. Yeah.
Robert Klein. I mean, it's just someone, Chris Rock.
Yeah.
They're all Long Island guys.
Well, I mean, do you think it's more a product of where they came from or who they hung out with? You know what I mean?
Interesting question. I think, Jewish comedy is big, and Long Island is kind of it sounds weird to say, but
there are a lot of
Mecca,
Jewish people.
If you will.
nothing inaccurate about that.
So I think that had a lot to do with it. But Boston is very kind of Italian Irish, so that was a big proving ground as well. It's
in that documentary? I forget who's is it? Is it Clark?
Lenny Clark?
Lenny Clark talks about doing like cocaine all night long and playing like six. There were like that many clubs where he just would hire a cab driver for the night, leave the car running, I'm going to go do a set here, then do a set, and it was just absolute.
You couldn't take a night off. Club owners would call you, and you'd worked like 15 nights in a row, and they'd say, we got an audience, we got no comics, please come down. And it was the rock and roll of the 90s. Unfortunately, it was before I got in, but man. And Tony V told the funny story. There was a big TV in the green room of the Comedy Cellar, I don't know what it was, one of the rooms.
Yeah.
And on top of it was where they all did their coke. They'd lay out the rails.
Oh, wow.
And one night he drew a line with whiteout on top of it.
Oh.
And he just sat there and watched all the comics come in and lunge toward the TV thinking that someone had left a line.
That's great.
Just howled all night as it went from, ecstasy to agony.
That's hilarious. Yeah,
they were paid in cocaine. It was crazy.
Oh, we got to, as a show, we got to present the Rescue 911 comedy tour with Dennis Leary and Lenny Clark were on it. And
Adam Ferrar
was on it as well. Yeah. And I'd never met Lenny before. And I walked into the room and I can't say what he said, but he just goes, hey, it's good to see you, you F and F word. Calling like a derogatory term for gay people. And I was just, this is the first time I'd ever met this person. And that's how he greeted me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he meant it in a nice way.
He sure did. It was absolutely a compliment. And you should have taken it as such.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just who he is.
Right.
And, he was from kind of the other side of the tracks in Cambridge, if there is such a thing.
Yeah.
And he could have run for mayor and won.
Probably would have won.
Was 20. I mean, he was just that gregarious a guy, that outgoing.
So you've been in the business for a number of years, and you're a veteran. Your family, I was reading, and if this is correct, was your dad in the Navy and a neurosurgeon?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. So when you brought up, I want to be a comedian, how did that go over?
Thrilled. Thrilled that he had paid for six kids to go through prep school and college, and I talk about my penis in front of strangers. Yeah. Makes him very proud.
Wow.
He's like, I should have pulled out. Absolutely. That's the way it is.
When a dad says that, it hurts, doesn't it?
It really does. And I was a mistake anyway. So,
there you go.
It's just a painful mistake for my dad.
When was the point at which, or it has that point come where he said, okay, you chose wisely?
He would golf with his buddies and they'd all talk about their kid who's on Wall Street or a lawyer or a doctor. And he'd say, my son, I think, is working in a basement. And, so it took a while. My first things were Comedy Central and MTV, which he's part of the greatest generation. He doesn't relate to that.
Yeah.
But when I did The Tonight Show, finally, he was like, maybe he's. And plus, my next older brother goes back to the well a lot asking for money and I never have. So,
well, there you go. That makes you look bad. When you have an F up sibling.
Yes.
You can't help but shine.
Thank God for him.
When I started working with these guys, my mom would periodically call me, over a couple of months, and she'd be like, so what do you think you'll do next after that show?
My wife's a stand-up comic, and she has her teacher's degree, and that's what she went to college for, and her mother still sends her articles there's a job opening in Brockton, Mass.
That is funny.
It's like the worst heckle in the world to get that from your mother in the mail.
Is it Carrie Louise? Is that her name? Yeah. So it is weird. I just think there's a generational thing where the idea, I think now more than ever, because
there's so many avenues with which to get into entertainment that you're more likely to say, okay, we'll just, and there's schools that actually, you know, will train you for certain things and so on and so forth. So it's a little bit more viable, but you can understand their point of reference. It's like,
I have three boys. I don't want them to go into my business.
Oh, yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah. So, but honestly, if they came to you, you tried to dissuade them with your.
You know, we'd let them do what they want to do, but it's, you know, it's, I say comedy is a dream job if you dream of poverty and rejection, and that's exactly what it is.
Oh, man. So my son is in sixth grade, and he is a smart kid. He just doesn't, you know, apply himself all that, and he scared me not too long ago because, you know, he's in sixth grade, and that's where, for me, being social was more important than anything else, and so he's in sixth grade now, and I was like, hey, man. I just want to let you know, like, sixth grade, like, you know, this is where, you know, I took a step back and, you know, I really wish. And he goes, yeah, but, like, you're doing okay. And I'm like, no.
That's why it kills me. Have you seen the Queen Latifah commercial? And it's for a legitimate, a legitimate school, and she's pitching, and they're a wonderful school. But she did not go to college and is making millions. It's a mixed message to send, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that my kids' heroes are these guys who play Fortnite and they're millionaires.
Yeah. How do you argue?
And I can't. Yeah. What do I say to them? You know, you don't need to study. Just sit there and play a video game the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So it's a challenging time. And both mom and dad are comics. So they, you know, they kind of see that the fun of it.
Yeah.
Casey, it's the other way around for my kids. I've mine are teenagers, and I've been like, so, yeah, radio's pretty, you know, I have a good time at work, and I always get the like, I'm like, really? That's what you think about what I do?
Oh, man.
Isn't it wild that you're like Tevye in this city? Like, the radio.
Yeah.
Our people are radio people.
Bastards.
If I were a rich man.
Oh, I saw you had posted a picture of your dad. He celebrated his 95th birthday. You said that he still beats you in chess and golf, but in wrestling, you still dominate.
He taps like a sissy every
time.
He does.
Really?
As soon as he gets his feeding tube around his neck, he's really... And we're about the same weight if you add in the wheelchair. So it's not fair. You know, it's not, I'm kidding.
He looks like he's in great shape.
He's 95 years old. He falls down all the time when we trip him, but he's really he's really great.
You also posted some pretty cool pictures of you with Smokey Robinson, with Billy Crystal, a bunch of other Rob Reiner. What was going on there?
I'm a member of the Friars Club. I'm a Friarling because the average age of the Friars is deceased. It's very old. And I'm one of the token Gentiles of the club, but we honored Billy Crystal with basically a lifetime, the Icon Award, we called it, but it's the Lifetime Achievement Award, and it was really fun.
First time meeting those people, or
had you? I had met Rob Reiner before, because Carl Reiner got the Kennedy Center honors, the Mark Twain Award, and they had some comics come down and do some stuff of that. So I met him once before. He had no recollection of me meeting him before, and it was the first time I ever met Billy, and Smokey.
That's the Friars Club we talk about all the time. I hold it in great reverence because it's still, even though throughout the years, people don't quite understand, you know, how important it is and still is. Mm. It's a revered organization. But you're right. I mean, this is where people in days of yore, where like Milton Berle and Jerry Lewis, they'd go and sit in the, you know, smoke cigars. And it was where the creme de la creme, I mean, like, you know, the best of the best were there.
That was the good old days. Yeah. My 40th birthday party was there. My bachelor party was there. Some of the best nights of my life have been at that monastery. And I hold it in high regard. I've been a member for 20 years. But, you know, it's not like it was.
It is before.
Huh? You know, it.
Who's hanging out now?
Now it's, you know, lawyers and doctors want to hang with the comics.
And Snooki.
And they're the ones who pay the bills. It's amazing. Going to the dining room and it's the people you see. It's just crazy.
Nah.
You know?
It's still a pretty cool honor. Yeah.
It's fun. It's like a fraternity. It's really kind of cool.
Well, listen, Tom is in town to play Helium Comedy Club. You got an 8 o'clock show tonight and then two shows on Friday and Saturday, 7:30 and 10 p.m. Have you been to Philadelphia? Have you spent time here before?
I have. They just lifted the restraining order.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations. Great. So we're honored.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
You can get tickets at heliumcomedy.com, so don't miss Tom and his shows this weekend. Nice to meet you, man. Thanks for having me, guys. You got it. All right, it's Tom Cotter, guys. Helium Comedy Club. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a second. Make sure you stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Totally Office Calendar 2019. 12 magnificent months featuring the most gorgeous girls and our loveliest listeners.
On sale now for just $15 in the MMR Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Order by December 10th to have it in time for the holidays. Or get your hands on a free copy at an upcoming calendar raid while meeting the girls and the members of the show.
Details at WMMR.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Hey, thanks, Kath. So, I don't think we have time to go through the whole thing right now, but I am going to mention this. The Golden Globe nominations are out.
Yes.
And we'll probably break those down a little bit tomorrow, but I do want to mention our buddy Bradley Cooper.
Yep.
Best Actor, Best Director, Best Picture.
Whoa. Wow.
First Star is Born. And Best Actress, Lady Gaga. But Bradley is the one who he directed the film.
Did he write the script based on adaptation?
It's not under screenplay.
Okay, it so might be under adapted.
It didn't. You know what? I don't. Let me see here. I don't see that category on
right.
here, Steve.
All right.
They have, but best motion picture. Yeah, the rest of these are for actors, and then the only one for writing is best screenplay. It doesn't have adapted screenplay, but maybe he wrote that. I'm yeah. not sure.
And
best original score and a few others as well.
Stay tuned, because he'll probably call in to talk yeah. about it.
I can't imagine. That's got to be the first call. When you're excited, you call your best friend.
Well, I just got a text from him. He said, listen, I want to talk to my mom first.
Yeah.
Okay, and then us.
I'll give you guys a buzz.
That's huge for him.
That's
and
awesome.
And you yeah. blurted out something that's worth teasing and repeating about one of our favorite movies in the nomination as well.
Yeah. Do you want to say it now?
Do it now, and we'll just repeat it tomorrow.
Best motion picture drama, Black Panther is up for that.
Wow.
Black Panther, an action film, a superhero film getting a legitimate nomination. That's awesome. I hope that opens the door.
Well, yeah, you know how like Bill Maher was pretty dismissive recently with the death of Stan Lee. Let me tell you something. Black Panther has a very cool, inspiring, wonderful story to it, and the wraparound with the kids at the end and the whole thing. It's wonderful,
yeah.
And it's a solid movie. And critically, it was a huge success.
And as much as I love that movie, and people yeah. tout it as the best one, there are a couple that I liked a little bit better than that. To be
absolutely.
Honest, could have legitimately been a part of these nominations. So I'm hoping maybe this opens the door for the superhero genre to actually be taken seriously.
Don't be dismissive.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut your hole.
All right. Let's do the bizarre. Well, you know what?
No, wait.
No.
I'll give you the other movies in the motion picture drama since I just said Black Panther.
Dang.
Black Klansman.
Ah.
No other blacks. Those are the only two. Black Panther, Black Klansman. Bohemian Rhapsody. Very cool. If Beale Street Could Talk, we were talking about that movie, Casey, and A Star Is Born. So that's pretty cool. So we'll go through the others. Those are Golden Globes. Let's do the Bizarre Five.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
Looks very excited.
Love it.
Brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases. And absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins, Delaware, Diamonds. A warning has been sent out to parents of a young girl who unknowingly took home a deadly marine animal that was hiding in a shell on a Western Australian beach. After a day of playing on Coogie Beach, the girl collected some shells to take home. As her aunt was washing them, she discovered a blue-ringed octopus was hiding in one of the shells.
Wow. Incredibly lethal.
Yes, you're right, Steve. Coogie Beach Surf Life.
What did I tell you about Coogie Beach?
Savings Club uploaded photos of the dangerous creature to Facebook as a warning to parents to keep an eye out for what their kids are doing at the beach. They said they look beautiful, but the bite can be deadly.
No one should go to Coogie Beach.
Blue.
By the way, isn't that what Kyle Echo called Kathy Romano? Coogie Romano?
I went to Coogie Beach once. I almost died. Would you having your kids go to Coogie Beach?
They said they look beautiful, but
even the fudgy wudgy balls will kill you.
Blue ringed octopuses are highly venomous species and are usually found in tide pools and coral reefs.
Jesus.
The octopus gets its name from the circular iridescent blue markings, which are usually only displayed when the animal feels threatened and is about to release its poison. The chemical the octopus releases, which is called
the full moon of the Australian summer.
The children play with the deadliest creatures on the beach. And the name of that beach is...
Googie.
The chemical it releases is a tetrodotoxin and aims to paralyze...
Are you allergic to that?
Its target, most likely.
Yeah.
Only two deaths are known to have occurred from a blue-ringed octopus bite in Australia.
Well, because everyone decides not to touch them.
But many people have come close to dying. It's made them sick.
Sorry, sorry. Special on the various levels of... it was actually about antitoxins and about the way you fight these things. Yep. And you know, needless to say, Australia has a huge... a wealth of those things, but the antitoxin for this particular creature is so scarce that
right,
probably best not to play with them.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a somewhat local story. A Pennsylvania man named John Anson said that he was surprised to get a call from Hershey Park saying that workers found a wallet that he lost on a roller coaster 4 years ago.
Wow.
Wow.
And he said the wallet became a family joke after it fell out of his pocket on the Sky Rush roller coaster in 2014. Was that the year it opened? That was 4 years ago.
Well, it might have been during one of our broadcasts.
It may have been during our broadcast. Anson added that he and his wife were shocked to hear a maintenance crew had found the wallet, which still had all of its content intact, but it was moldy and dusty. And they got it back to him, which is pretty cool. A hotel guest is suing Hilton Worldwide for $100 million, claiming she was unknowingly filmed showering at a Hampton Inn and Suites in Albany, New York in 2015, and then blackmailed by the perv who took the footage. The lawsuit filed
in... I missed a spot.
The lawsuit filed in Virginia. Listen to how freaky this is.
Yeah.
Where the Hilton Worldwide is based claims that the woman initially had no knowledge of her that her privacy was invaded until September of this year, when the self-described perv reached out and informed her of his actions. The woman from Chicago received an email from the blackmailer containing a link of the footage that had been posted on a pornographic website. Her name was also shared on the site. The next day, the blackmailer followed up with more personal information, including her reason for being in New York, which was to take the bar exam. He wrote, "I'm a perv. I don't hurt anyone. I like to watch. No need to worry about me. I just like to watch, and then I move on to the next." The blackmailer later asked the woman in a separate email to promise me my own show, or else the videos would remain on the internet and get copied on every website. He later threatened to distribute the videos and her personal information if she didn't respond by the end of the day, a threat the blackmailer followed through on October 11th. This is this year this is happening.
Jeez.
So it was, the video was taken in 2015.
That is horrible.
The blackmailer continued to torment the woman throughout the rest of the month at times, calling her a whore and a bitch.
He's a pervert, and he's calling her a whore and a bitch.
Yeah, the emailer also began sending the footage to her coworkers and eventually asking that she begin sending $1,000 for the next year, along with $2,000 up front, presumably to stop the distribution. The woman's lawyer said that he believes the blackmailer to be an employee of the hotel based on the suspect's knowledge of his client's personal information. However, the suspect's exact identity has not been determined. They don't know who it is yet.
Oh, I hope they get him.
They also said that the lawyer said he believes the hotel room was used repeatedly to film people over an extended period, and says that he is aware of at least one other secretly filmed video guest. Film video showing a different guest in that same room. So, wow.
I wonder what her coworkers did. I hope they showed, you know, solidarity and didn't.
Yeah. But she's suing for $100 million. All right. One last story. Can I do one last story?
Yep.
All right. A driver is counting the cost of a very expensive McDonald's after his car was seized when he was caught speeding. The motorist told officers that he was concerned that his food might get cold after he overtook an unmarked police car on a single track road in the UK. However, after the details were checked, it was found that the it wasn't insured, so his car was seized. The car was found to be uninsured. I already said that. A spokesman
did he have insurance?
For the police said, "It's been a positive night shift on the beat. This vehicle driver decided to overtake our officers in an unmarked vehicle at excessive speeds, putting everyone's life at risk, all because he didn't want his McDonald's to get cold. It just so happened that this vehicle wasn't insured either. It's safe to say the driver wasn't loving it."
Don't they waive insurance if you're trying to keep your food hot?
They might.
Yeah.
I've never really checked into that particular detail.
I think in London they do.
That is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. Case, do I have anything left from our friends at Stephen Starr Restaurants? I think I have one gift card left. I'm sorry I've made a mess over here. Got two of them.
That's two of them.
Two. So we'll take callers 15 and 16, and we will give you... a $50 gift card right now to Star Restaurants, 215-263-WMMR. They brought in food from the Continental, from Continental Midtown, and from Elvez.
Every one of them is a home run.
There are 37 Star locations, and visit stargiftcards.com. That's Star with two R's, stargiftcards.com, or any of the restaurant locations to purchase gift cards that are redeemable at any of the 37 Star locations. 215-263-WMMR. That's the number. Give us a call right now. We are taking a break. Be back in just a moment, and we'll get to Lesson Question Trash and Music News coming up.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
We are the Preston and Steve Show. We will have a... They're calling for partly cloudy skies today. We'll see if it gets a little less gray than it is right now. High only of about 40 degrees. You can feel it in the morning when you get out to the car, man. It's definitely... It's getting cold, and it'll be colder. It'll be colder this weekend. Not seeing any precipitation, but our high on Saturday and Sunday is going to be 36 degrees. So a little bit on the chilly side there, folks.
You know what? I don't mind. It's just the rain I don't want.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be cold. Obviously, we're around that time of year where it's all right to be bundled up and have hot cocoa and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the rain, it just sucks.
Yeah, well, it especially sucks for me because... I killed my lawn over the course of the summer, and
is this a confession?
It is. So I'm my lawn is now being rehabbed, and in order to rehab it, you basically had to tear it down to the studs to build it back up again. So it's basically
just, like the Marines.
It's just like dirt.
Yeah.
Right now. So in when it rains out, it's mud, and I have dogs, and I got to take them. So I can't.
May I suggest something?
Yeah.
So they did a whole bunch of work at my house with hardscaping and so on and so forth. Get hay.
Hey.
Hey! They put hay all over the lawn, and that get some bales of hay and cover your lawn with it.
See, I've just been taking them over to the neighbor's lawn to take.
Yeah,
them.
There you go.
That's what you got to do.
I mean, I clean it up.
We need to do today's lesson question, and I'm sorry, man, my nose is
dude. You know what?
Can dripping all over the place?
Could you make some cake and dip your nose? Yeah.
Grandma's cake with the nose drippings. Yeah. Sorry, I needed to get some tissue.
Need some snot drippings.
Lesson question day, giving away a pair of tickets to see Penn State face Princeton for the 6th annual Philadelphia College Hockey Faceoff, Wells Fargo Center on Saturday the 15th. I love this question. You guys know that a baker's dozen has 13. How many does a Romano's dozen have?
Oh, my God. I don't remember this.
215-263-WM. We didn't call it a Romano's dozen, no. But...
The ladies in my...
Oh, now I do. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
The ladies at my gym will love this because that's who I'm doing the cookie exchange party with.
A baker's dozen is 13, but for Kathy Romano... How many cookies are in a dozen? I think I like Romano's dozen.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. Call now.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Star Restaurants. Everybody is a star. This holiday, treat them to their favorite dining experience. Purchase a gift card at any Star restaurant or visit them online at stargiftcards.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Madonna reigniting her Twitter feud with Lady Gaga, suggesting that Gaga is her single white female stealing everything she does. Lady Gaga is denying the accusation, noting that she still hasn't stolen Madonna's terrible acting.
Oh, wow.
That's true.
Oh, my God.
Rapper Lil Pump released from a Denmark jail and ordered never to return to the country after being arrested for drug possession. Lil Pump blew off being barred from Denmark, saying he had no plans to visit the Vatican anyway. And finally, Cardi B. Splitting from her husband, rapper Offset, after just getting married and having a baby together, Cardi B says she quickly realized she wanted a committed, faithful relationship, while he wanted to bang filthy whores.
Oh, wow.
That's your Hollywood track.
Can I review a couple of those names real quick?
Sure.
So we have Offset.
Yes.
Offset's a person.
Offset is a rapper who was married to Cardi B.
Okay, and then Lil who?
Lil Pump.
Lil Pump.
Another rapper.
Yep.
Okay. Lil Pump.
I know. Is it not? And by the way, Lil Pump looks like he's attempting to be Tekashi 69.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Same look.
That's the trend, though.
Less. So he has pink moons, green clovers on his face, and he doesn't have the full Lucky Charms array. Tekashi 69.
I hope this trend continues. There you go. Just so later in years, like you said, they're sitting in an office.
So I think I'd be an asset to your accounting company,
right?
And
was formerly in the music industry.
Yes, yeah. My Lil Pump. Well, Mr. Pump, we'll be giving you a call.
I can't wait for that to happen. All right, so we asked the question for Kathy Romano, how many cookies are in one dozen? You heard of a baker's dozen is 13. How many are in a Romano's dozen? I'll go to the phones, and we head over to Mike. Yo, Mike.
Mike.
Get Dukes, buddy. Dukes. All right, how many in a Romano's dozen?
24.
Yes. Nice. Hang on a second, Moik.
A lot of friggin' cookies.
We're going to get your information. We are going to give you a pair of tickets to see Penn State face Ivy League foe, the Princeton Tigers, for the 6th annual Philadelphia College Hockey Face-Off at Wells Fargo Center. Saturday, December 15th at 7:30, and tickets start at $20 and WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. Let's do music news, shall we?
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
I want to point something out, Steve, just a quick correction in case you should know this and maybe people listening, because they say that I've seen a few people say, don't use hay, use straw.
Hay!
Hay has apparently seeds in it. It's full of weeds.
Okay, so they must have put down straw, yeah.
Yeah, so straw is what they put
down. Yeah, I use paper straws.
Okay. let's thank our sponsor, Music News, brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville, with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. You can visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? Imagine Dragons is top.
You get very emotional when you talk about this band.
Imagine Dragons has topped a slew of Billboard's year-end charts, including, listen to this, top rock artists, top songs, the alternative digital song sales, hot rock songs, rock digital song sales, and rock streaming
hot
song
rock,
charts.
Rock.
Top artists on the alternative albums, artists, hot rock songs, artists, alternative songs, artists, top rock album artists, rock airplay artists, digital rock song sales artists, and rock streaming songs artist charts, plus top album on the alternative albums and top rock album charts.
That's like a tongue twister.
Everybody get that right?
I slit the sheet.
Yeah. I sieve a thistle. Strangely, most of Imagine Dragons' chart success in 2018 actually came from music that was originally released in 2017 on the band's Evolve.
That's cray cray.
Yeah, and that includes the LP itself, as well as singles like Thunder, Whatever It Takes, and the monster hit Believer. So they had a great year as far as the awards go. Ghost mastermind Tobias Forge said in a new interview that having a strong social media presence is important, even if people online are not saying nice things about the band. He said, if people talk about you, it helps. Even if they talk S, it also helps. It's a lot, actually. The more people talk bad about you, the more terrific it yields. Forge also said that even as the music industry has changed, some fundamental rules remain about making music. He said, I think that at the end of the day, what really matters is making good music. If you have to work on your music, you have to tour. If you have the radio support, that's really good. It helps a lot. But first and foremost, you have to tour, tour, and tour. Ghost released the
That's his three brothers.
Fourth studio album, Prequel, in June, and Ghost will be in town next week, and Tobias Forge is stopping by the studio.
It's very, very cool.
Yeah. A new book on Chris Cornell, titled Total Effing Godhead, The Biography of Chris Cornell, will arrive in 2020. The author, Rolling Stone, and Billboard writer Corbin Reif, announced the news in a series of tweets saying, I've spent the last year conducting interviews and doing research and can't even begin to describe how excited I am to kick the tires on this. Rick mentioned in his tweets that he has interviewed legendary Seattle producer Jack Endio, who worked on Soundgarden's early recordings as well.
I'm so excited!
As well as Seattle music critic Dawn Anderson, the first person to ever review the band's music back in 1986. But it is unclear if he has spoken to the members of Cornell's family or his bandmates in Soundgarden, Audioslave, or Temple of the Dog. How wild is this, man? Fozzy singer Chris Jericho must spend more time on the road than in the wrestling ring these days, but he can still apparently take care of himself. Jericho and Fozzy played a show in Regina, Saskatchewan on Sunday night when a man who did some work on the show tried to get onto the Fozzy tour bus without being invited. Details are somewhat sketchy, but it appears that the man wanted to get on the bus and ended up sneaking on board after he was told he was not allowed on. One of the band's crew members saw him, and they got into a fight, which ended with the intruder breaking the crew member's collarbone before getting kicked off.
Man.
But Jericho followed the man outside and began beating on him and then went back on the bus before coming out again and asking onlookers to hold the man until police came. Although the man did break free, the police arrived and they ended up chasing, catching, and arresting him as well.
And take the wrestler out of him.
I would not mess with him. This is a great story. According to sources, Paul McCartney's new favorite watering hole is a Manhattan gay bar.
Really?
Yeah, RadarOnline.com reported that Macca has been frequenting his good friend, actor Alan Cumming's bar, which is called Club Cumming. Yeah.
He likes that.
The establishment's co-owner, Danielle Nardiccio, revealed that Sir Paul seems to be becoming quite a regular. He came in without bodyguards.
He really like penis.
And he and his friends drank quietly during our party, House of Cumming. Paul was first spotted at Club Cumming on September 22nd in 2017, fresh from his Barclays Center show in Brooklyn. The former Beatle was wearing an I Saw Paul McCartney in Brooklyn shirt and took the stage with Cumming and actress Emma Stone, backing them on his signature tiny harmonica for a rendition of A Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid.
Wow.
And playing a few other songs before hopping onto the dance floor, grooving to assorted ABBA and Donna Summer hits.
I wish we could get Alan Cumming. Yeah, obviously Paul McCartney, but Alan Cumming in the studio would be great
because yeah.
he's so much great stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, you go back all the way to Romy and Michelle.
Yep.
He's hilarious.
Yep, he's cool. And then one last story. Interesting. Did not know this. Chrissy Hynde revealed that one of the Pretender's most successful tunes was inspired by tennis great John McEnroe. During an appearance, Hynde explained how the band's second top 10 hit, Don't Get Me Wrong, came to be, recalling, I wanted to write a song for John because I've known him for a long time and he's always getting in trouble, so I heard, because I never watched him play tennis particularly because I'm not really a tennis fan. I hate to admit it because I don't think he likes it very much. He used to say, can't you just pretend like you're into athletics when you're talking to me? She went on to say he loved playing guitar. He's a big music person, which is how I knew him because he used to come on our come to our shows. And he was friendly with the band and stuff. And I had in mind that I was going to write this song for him to do. Years later, when I was on a British Airways flight, I heard an announcement because I did write some of that song on a plane. And I think I nicked one of the top line melodies from the overhead announcement. So I guess, and it says here, dong, 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 which I think it goes, dong, 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 dong.
Yes, yeah.
Before they make an announcement.
Right, right, yeah.
And so the don't get me wrong came from hearing that dong, 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 dong. So she said, F them too. Okay. In her Chrissy Hynde kind of way. Isn't she a doll? All right, so anyhow, I had no idea that at all that had
That's why in the song she says to return you trace to the upright position.
Anything to do with John McEnroe, but apparently he was the motivation to write that song. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in music news for you. Let's...
Do you want to mention this, Preston? I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry. It's not an announcement of any type, but Nick had retweeted a tweet from Pearl Jam. It is a picture of a microphone on a stage, and it appears to be the Spectrum, is what you're telling me, right, Nick?
Yeah, so the Spectrum closed 10 years ago or 9 years ago by Pearl Jam, and the tweet was really simple. It just says the calm before the storm, but many people, myself included, are speculating this means a tour is coming, and people are hoping that it's an arena tour, not a stadium tour.
Yeah, it's an empty Spectrum. And it's from the perspective of you standing at the microphone. So maybe... And
he's
maybe Philadelphia.
Build the Spectrum again?
Yeah, maybe they're going to rebuild the Spectrum. We'll see. All right, that's what I have in the B-File. Let's give away some beer. I have a Yards Variety Pack for caller number 15, who is at least 21 years of age. The holidays are, of course, time to get together with family and friends. This year, bring cheer, bring beer. Bring a Yards Variety Pack, and you can find Yards at Philly Beer Baron in Philadelphia. Caller 15, you get it. 215-263-WMMR. Back in a moment to wrap it up.
Become an MMR VIP. Get early access to concert pre-sales, special deals, and VIP-only contests. You'll get our newsletter about twice a month, most of which you'll find worthwhile. Sign up now at WMMR.com.
Christmas Miracle broadcast giveaways, which is coming up on the 20th. I'll be here before you know it. We're going to have an amazing array of prizes to give away from some of our friends, our clients, and just some things that we love. And we'll tell you when to call and get on board for that. But I'm stoked to see what it's going to look like in our new location there. We've always done it in the 360 Lounge, and now we're going to be at the Excite Center, which is their full concert venue, man.
So in the ones that we've done, we sort of
it expands out to the boundaries of the lounge. Now we're actually going to be cutting this super large room down a bit, but it's an incredible setup. The stage, the acoustics, the lights. Yeah. I mean, we can really kind of let loose.
Yeah. So we'll do more invites on that tomorrow. I would like to thank our guest on the program, Mr. Tom Cotter, who's going to be
at
Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow on Saturday, heliumcomedy.com to get the tickets. We will, also want to thank Stephen Starr Restaurants for being here. Elvez, the Continental and Continental Midtown, who came in today and brought amazing food, as you would imagine. And, they gave us the heads up on the fact that their gift cards are now available for purchase. And you can get them at all 37 locations, are redeemable at all 37 locations, and they don't expire.
Pick up a couple because you know you always get short with someone you need to get a gift to. No one is going to complain of getting a Star gift certificate. And if you don't use it as a gift, use it yourself.
StarGiftCards.com. There's two R's in Star, by the way. StarGiftCards.com. We should do our letter of the day. We set for that, Case?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right. The Preston and Steve Show.
With paper towels he's got. He was cleaning windshields in the parking lot.
Well, there's never any paper towels, so I just buy my own now.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought
to you. I'm doing my Beasley best.
Brought to you today by the letter.
Where am I?
Where am I?
This Thursday.
As in attaboy.
Attaboy.
All right. Tomorrow we will give away our 20-mile stock car driving experience.
It looks like sale day at Costco.
By the way, I love Beasley Best. That's my new, that's going to
that
be my new
one of the
company's
sayings.
Yep.
And don't forget, it's you can drive a 600-horsepower stock car. Wow.
That's not like it hurt.
It did.
That's my Yanni.
On NASCAR's famous 2.5-mile super speedway at Pocono Raceway. And you'll suit up in an official race suit and get behind the wheel of a 160-mile-per-hour NASCAR-style stock car. When you start the engine, you'll know this is an experience of a lifetime. So we'll give that away tomorrow. There he is. Making his way into the studio. How you doing, man?
I was just perky as can be, and not an ounce of traffic on the expressway. And I'm just merrily driving along and listening and having a pleasant time. And all of a sudden, I realize I drove right past the exit.
That happens occasionally.
I've only done that one other time. Huh. I drove right past your beautiful Bala Cynwyd exit. And then I had to go, but there was no traffic. I went all the way down to Montgomery, got off, turned around, came back up, and made it by the skin of my paper towels.
Yeah, nice.
My seventh generation 100% recycled paper towels, strong and absorbent, whitened without chlorine bleach. And they're bringing our program to us today.
Are they really their sponsor?
How do they whiten them without chlorine bleach?
I don't know, but I don't really know.
Well, stay tuned. We have a guest tomorrow who's going to explain the whole process.
Thank you very much, and that's why I tune in every day.
That's right.
On the program today.
Yeah.
Thank
what's
you
coming
for asking,
up? Certainly,
Presbo.
Yes. That's what I'm here for.
And
Presbo.
Also, thank you. Presbo called in the other day from the expressway and gave us a traffic report.
Yeah, man. It was a flipped over car on its hood.
Saw that.
On its roof.
On the Schuylkill, right?
Yeah.
I saw that.
And it was pretty wild. I never heard if anybody was okay in that or not, but I never, all the lanes were shut down, so I called in for a traffic report.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of police activity on that one, like ambulance leaving when I passed it, there wasn't much happening, which always makes me nervous because they probably took the person from the car, you know?
Right.
The car was still there though when you passed
it. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, on the program today, in addition to Preston's traffic reports, we will have a workforce block of Tom Petty, a block of the Dropkick Murphys, and a block of Bruce Springsteen. His drummer, Max Weinberg, is at the Ardmore Music Hall tonight doing Max Weinberg's Jukebox, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, he's got a great big band, and apparently they have like 250 songs on a big screen or something behind him. And so he actually leaves the drum kit and walks out into the audience and solicits four songs. They go back and play them. of the list, and then he gets up and goes out and does
that's
it again.
Cool.
And gets four more songs, and that's how the evening goes.
Preston.
I would love to get Max Weinberg in here.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would have been great. Yeah, that's actually a show you should go to.
Yeah, I know.
I've interviewed him before. He's great.
How's he feeling? Because his back was messed up for a while.
And his hands, too.
Yeah.
He was having issues.
He's doing okay. I mean,
and his nipples are sensitive.
Right.
Very sensitive. But he's been using lotion, and he's feeling much better.
Tight shirts over the years.
Yeah, and he also uses 7th generation 100% recycled paper towels, which are strong and absorbent. And that takes care of a lot.
That's been a saving grace for so many musicians.
So many, Steve. You're absolutely right. Anyway, he's a fascinating guy.
Cool.
And he'll be at the Ardmore Music Hall tonight. And so I'll do a block of Bruce.
Nice. Should be enjoyable.
That's it. Oh, and I'll have a $50 star gift certificate. And I'll have opening night tickets for MMR's opening night with Weezer at the Met this coming Wednesday.
That's excellent.
That'll be fun.
Chock full, dare I say.
G-A-K-K-K, full.
It's the word.
That's how you spell it.
We're going to thank our sponsors, the Preston and Steve.
Either add a K or subtract a K.
Yeah, you don't want to leave it at three Ks, man.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the most popular presentation amongst the KKK.
Oh, dear.
I don't like rock and roll because it's the devil music, but when I do listen, I listen to Pierre Robert.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I didn't mean up.
Yeah, one more cap.
And all kinds of madnesses.
This morning, the Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin', also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show, and brought to you by Citadel Banking with one focus, and that is you. Tomorrow on our program, we'll have comedian Christina P.
Oh!
She'll be stopping by the studio, and we'll do lots of giveaways. We'll have a good time for Friday. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow day. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I love the Jersey Shore, but to the guy who said you have pretty blue waters, you're a f***ing liar. That shit is brown and dirty looking.
Next message.
Preston, you made a comment in a very offhanded manner. You said, we haven't done that in a while. Jarred farts. I laughed my ass off, and it made me realize that listening to the show is just like hanging out at home with your family. You do disgusting things you never admit in public. Here we are on the radio talking about jarred farts. Oh, I love you, man.
Next message.
To the people who stole my shingles off of the parking lot from the church I'm working on, God's watching you, bitches.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.